free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome on this Friday, June the 24th, 2019. I'm David Knight, your host. We're going to take a look at the debate last night. I was here. We were doing it live with Robert Barnes, Owen Schroyer, our reporters on the ground in Miami. So we've got some clips for you of the debate. We're going to analyze. We're going to tell you what the mainstream media, the corporate media, is telling you, who won and who lost. Some interesting insights I think you're going to find today. Of course, we all know that the Democrats want to provide everything for foreign citizens. They will get full benefits as if they were American citizens of the welfare state. That, by the way, has been the design. We've talked about this for a very long time. Cloward and Piven, going back several decades, Democrat economists, they said, we need to create a socialist utopia. The way we do that is to get everybody dependent on the government, get everybody, as many people as we can, on welfare, get them dependent on the government, take the economy down. That'll collapse the economy, and then we can rebuild on that collapsed economy. We can restructure everything into our socialist utopia. Well, that didn't really work too well. Most Americans didn't want to go into that dependency. And so then in the mid-2000s, the mid-aughts, I guess you could say, they revised that strategy. They said, what we will do is we'll open up the borders. And that's the point at which all these Democrats, we've got clips of all these Democrats, Hillary, Obama, Biden, all these people, Elizabeth Warren, oh, we got to protect the border. Got to protect the border. No, they all just pivoted around that period of time. They realized that they could get foreign citizens on the welfare rolls. They could realize their socialist utopia after they collapse the American economy. And so we're going to talk about this advanced auction of stolen goods. That's what H.L. Mencken said an election is. It really is. It's been that way for a very long time. You know, pork barrel politics. They have to steal everything from somebody else before they can give it to you. But, of course, they're going to also steal it from you. That's the sleight of hand that is there. But Americans don't really count anymore. And they're stealing all of this from Americans, the middle class. They're handing it to foreign citizens. We have a welfare state that, quite frankly, by itself, if it was just for Americans, is not sustainable. But we're going to extend this unsustainable American welfare state to everybody in the world, wherever they are. Come on in. You can come from Mexico. You can come from Central America. You can come from Africa. No problem. We'll give you all free health care. Every single one of those Democrats on the stage last night raised their hands. And we're not going to vet anybody. We're not going to do anything about that. These people, as they're talking about refugee asylum, I said, yeah, you know where the asylum is. You're looking at it right there. Those 10 people and the 10 the night before, it is Arkham Asylum. These people are insane, criminally insane. So we're going to take a look at the back and forth there. We're also going to take a look at the Supreme Court decision that came out yesterday, saying that, again, you know, when we do the census, you don't count. They're more interested in counting foreign citizens. And there's a good reason for that, because California and sanctuary states are going to see their money and their political power increased if they count foreign citizens. They don't even have to give them the vote. It'll just be more and more Congress people from California that'll be filling the Electoral College, filling Congress and so forth. So they don't even have to extend the vote. They will. They will extend the vote to all the illegal aliens, but they don't have to do that if the Supreme Court says to President Trump, you cannot ask that question. Put a gag order on him. You know, we've had the Supreme Court define what marriage is. They've defined what life is. They've said you can't ask a certain question. And, of course, in the past, they've also said if the public square is privately owned, even if it's privately owned, you can't kick people out of it, but now they're doing that now. Out of all those decisions, which one do we ignore? Oh, that's the one about free speech. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
InfoWars, the most banned network in the world. So the InfoWars model is a self-fulfilling, self-supporting structure that is promoting free press and free speech by people getting together and supporting one another and sustaining one another. It is the only independent press of this size and scale, of this public reach. It is the one model that says, here's a way to have a self-supporting, self-sustaining, self-structured, little d democratic structure that because the audience determines what content goes up, the audience determines what audience is ultimately reached by their choices in supporting InfoWars. And it's all because the audience spends their whatever it is, whether it's $5 or $50 a month on products that they like and that they want that actually compete with the corporate-driven model, and the ability to do that and at the same time support press, support speech, support letting the audience choose what news they want to see and what views they want to hold. And it's the ultimate American democratic expression and experiment, and it is the celebration of free press and free speech with free markets.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome on this Friday, June 28th, year of our Lord 2019. I'm David Knight, your host. We're going to take a look at the second debate last night. Again, we were here late covering the debate live. I was here with Robert Barnes, Owen Schroyer. We had our reporters on the ground in Miami. We're going to give you some breakdown and further analysis, and we're going to take a look at what the corporate media says. But first, let's go to President Trump. President Trump, of course, was not at the debate. He wasn't even watching it, I don't think. He'll probably watch the reruns and the commentaries, I'm sure, because there's some interesting things. President Trump is going to want to know what these people are about, because he's eventually going to be facing one of them. But he was in Japan, and he got a chance to meet Vladimir Putin. And, of course, it came up last night that several of the candidates believe that Russia has to be attacked. They are our most dangerous threat. So let's go after them. And they're rigging our elections and so forth. So he had, as President Trump was sitting next to Vladimir Putin, and everybody is clicking all the cameras and taking the pictures, and they're edging... closer and telling President Trump, are you going to tell Putin not to mess with our elections? And here's what President Trump did. Yeah, so he says, it's pretty hard to hear that. Are you going to tell him not to meddle in the election? And he looks over, don't meddle in the election. There, we're done, okay? Don't meddle in the election. Classic moment. Absolutely classic moment. And I wish President Trump and his administration would have the courage to say Russia didn't meddle in the election this last time. It was internal whistleblowers. It was Facebook itself. It was Google itself. They meddled in the 2016 election. They're going to meddle even more in the 2018 election. We've now heard the tapes. They did it. There are no smoking tapes of Vladimir Putin saying, let's rig the election. But we have laid out for you many times the plan to not only control speech in the public place. We can see that's happening now. Everybody knows that's happening except our elected representatives in Congress. They're still having hearings, trying to get their head around what's going on. I mean, there's something called shadow banning. Yeah, that was going on like 3 or 4 years ago. And now Twitter is coming out and saying, well, for controversial politicians, you know, like President Trump, we may censor their speech in various ways, label it as false and so forth. We may delay their visibility on tweets. Yeah, I know that. I've seen that. I've seen them capping my followers and so forth on Twitter as well. We're going to take some of your calls and comments if you want to call in. The number is 888-201-2244. We're going to play clips of what happened last night. I also want to put things in perspective. You know, as we talk about this being an advance auction of stolen goods, that's what an election always is. But I've never seen an election rise to this level of promising stolen goods. How are they going to do that? Where are they going to get the money? Well, here's a clue last night. They asked them if they'd be willing to, how they're going to do this. And they don't have any problem at all raising taxes. Play video clip number 15.
Will taxes go up for the middle class in a Sanders administration? And if so, how do you sell that to voters?
Well, you're quite right. We have a new vision for America. And at a time when we have three people in this country owning more wealth than the bottom half of America, while 500,000 people are sleeping out on the streets today, we think it is time for change, real change. People who have health care under Medicare for All will have no premiums, no deductibles, no co-payments, no out-of-pocket expenses. Yes, they will pay more in taxes, but less in health care for what they get.
Thank you, Senator.
Donald Trump has put us in a horrible situation. We do have enormous income inequality. And the one thing I agree on is we can make massive cuts in the $1.6 trillion in tax loopholes out there, and I would be going about eliminating Donald Trump's tax cuts for the wealthy.
Vice President Biden, thank you.
Which is why I am proposing that we change the tax code so for every family that is making less than $100,000 a year, they will receive a tax credit that they can collect at $500 a month, which will make all the difference between those families being able to get through the end of the month with dignity and with support or not. And on day one, I will repeal that tax bill that benefits the top 1% and the biggest corporations of America.
Finishing the work we started with Obamacare and creating a public option that every family and every person in America can make a choice for their family about whether they want a public option, which for them would be like having Medicare for All, or whether they want to keep their private insurance. I believe we will get there much more quickly if we do that.
But wait,
Bernie mentioned that the taxes that we would have to pay, because of those taxes, Vermont rejected Medicare for All.
Now, we need to put the American people in position to benefit from all these innovations in other parts of the economy. And if we had a value-added tax at even half the European level, it would generate over $800 billion in new revenue, which combined with the money in our hands, it would be the trickle-up economy from our people, families, and communities up.
Pause that right there. Okay, so this is a guy who wants universal basic poverty. That's his plan. You're going to get $1,000 a month from the government. That's $12,000 a year, folks. And that's going to be your compensation, because he believes that artificial intelligence and all the things that are being done in Silicon Valley, they're not going to need you anymore. They're not going to need you to drive the trucks, to deliver vehicles, you know, the whole transportation industry. We're going to have about 50% unemployment there. And that's just the beginning. You know, these people are looking at this and said, we're going to apply artificial intelligence to every single industry, and we're going to do it from top to bottom. It's not just going to be one industry at a time. It's not just going to be the blue-collar workers, the people who don't have any job skills or educational skills. It's going to be everybody. So what are we going to do to pacify the population? Oh, I know. We'll give them a little check, a little check. And again, $1,000 a month, that isn't going to hack it. But, you know, he's going to raise a lot of money. Who's going to pay those taxes? Well, you know, they're going to give you $1,000 a month, but then they're going to put a VAT tax on everything, a value-added tax. Do you understand what a value-added tax is? It's not simply a sales tax. At every single level of production, you know, from the manufacturer to the distributor to the regional distributor to the retailer, and finally from the retailer to the end product, they add taxes every single level there. So it's basically a pyramid scheme of taxes. You get taxed on the taxes from the previous person as it's passed along. Excuse me. So these taxes snowball through the system. I've said a long time, I was kind of surprised for a very long time why the government would go to something like the income tax here in America when they could actually tax more using the VAT like they do in Europe, because it's very stealthy. You can put a huge tax that, again, snowballs through the levels of distribution, and the people don't see it. After a while, I realized the income tax was really there in the beginning because they wanted to get intelligence on you. They wanted to know more about your life, and they were willing to be more visible about their taxation and even take less of it, you know, because they've got the fiat currency. They got the petrodollar, the world's reserve currency. They don't really have to worry about the deficit at this point in time. They wanted that intel on you, but now they've got the computerized intel on you. They can scrape it off of Facebook, everything that you put there. They can monitor everything that you do. They're getting ready to extend that to an unbelievable level. If you stop and think about this, if you read their papers, as I have, what they want to do with geospatial intelligence, activity-based intelligence, what they're already doing in China. They don't need that intelligence anymore from the income tax system. So, yeah, let's just roll this out. And did you hear what he said about trickle up? Trickle up? This is why the Democrats have always complained. They said, wait a minute, all the money is flowing up to the 1%. As I said last night, he does not realize the gravity of the situation. Things do not trickle up, but they are pissing down our back and telling us it's raining in the terms of outlaw Josie Wales. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Serving with InfoWars is a great honor, but I still need my morning coffee. And luckily, our break room at the InfoWars headquarters is stocked full of high-quality InfoWars store Patriot Blend coffee. Grown in the high mountains of southern Mexico, the Chiapas farmers grow 100% organic, non-GMO coffee at the ideal altitude for the perfect cup. A robust coffee with great flavor and mild acidity. There has never been a more important time to support InfoWars. So if you love coffee, and if you want to fight for freedom, then you can help. Order now at the InfoWars store. Sign up for AutoShip and get your own high-quality supply of Patriot Blend coffee delivered right to your door at InfoWarsStore.com.
Robert Barnes, what has big tech become?
Big tech are big babies that have become big bullies. And the way they did so is because they faced no consequence, social, economic, political, or legal, for their illicit activities over two decades. And because of that, that's why the courts, the judges, the juries, the members of the independent free press that care about this, the ordinary members of the public and the audience that care about this, have to bring real social, political, economic consequence to their course of conduct. Otherwise, they will never change. And they will become the big tech oligarchs, the equivalent to the big trusts of the 19th century, who ran American politics and ran American economy almost into the ground until we were able to recover after the Great Depression. The InfoWars audience is the fuel that flames the light of liberty across the world to make real the actions of independent free speech, to make real the original promise of an independent free press. Real collusion is big tech and big media manipulating and working with each other to try to meddle with elections, to try to shape people's thoughts.
And then the whopper of telling us the whole time it's not happening.
It's the ultimate form of gaslighting. What you just saw isn't what you just saw, even it is what you just saw.
Let's talk to Marcus in New York. Marcus, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Alex. Yeah, I just want to say, your show is a breath of fresh air. I talk to a lot of people here out in New York City, and one thing I can tell you is that almost nobody agrees with these wars. I think that the neocons are trying desperately to get Trump to go to a war because they know that that's the only way that they could defeat him in the eyes of the public approaching 2020.
That's it. I mean, if Trump buys into this, it'll be the end of his presidency. It's the only way I think he can be defeated other than assassinating him. It's a time to be praying, my friend.
I agree entirely. And the last thing I just want to say, Alex, is I know they're trying to shut you down, but the reinforcements have arrived, man. I would love to see you on air until you're 80 years old. I would love to see what you're talking about when you're 80. But if they do shut you down, know you've gone into this war. You've won a lot of battles, and there are a lot of people like myself and many others who are going to continue. We're going to keep fighting in the info war, and even if something does happen to you or your show, know for a fact that you've gotten a lot of people fired up for liberty.
Thank you, sir, for calling. Clown World, InfoWars.com, ladies and gentlemen. It's already being printed. Your new ultra-limited edition Clown World t-shirt will be shipped out to you. And on the back, like a concert t-shirt, Clown World 2020, Cory Booker and all the rest of the usual suspects. We're going to have live coverage, and there's only 5,000 of these being printed. And that's it, and it funds the operation. It's a Clown World, and we're just living in it. Celebrate the circus that is Democratic debates with this exclusive limited-time Clown World shirt, $19.95, really soft, nice, high quality fabric, whole nine yards for everybody, no reviews yet, and yes, we're running store-wide free shipping, 50% off of the supplements and double Patriot points, and that's how we fund this operation. Thanks to you, the amazing audience, and this amazing crew, everybody else, we will prevail. InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139. Please support us today. These sales are big.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. We're going to be taking calls. What you think about the debates? Again, that number is 888-201-2244 if you want to call in, or if you want to leave a question or a comment to be responded to on Twitter, you can put it there. I still have a Twitter account. Of course, Twitter is saying that they're going to even come after verified politicians who have more than 100,000 followers. That appears to be the point at which they start to scrutinize what you're doing. That's what I noticed. And cap you. They cap your followers, they shadow ban your content if they don't like it. But of course, for the politicians, they'll put a notice over the tweets that this violates our standards, but it might have some public interest, you know, because maybe a world leader had to say it. Blocking world leaders, I used to say, this is what Twitter said before when people criticized, said, why are you letting President Trump on Twitter? I said, blocking a world leader from Twitter or removing their controversial tweets would hide important information people should be able to see and debate. It would also not silence that leader, but it would certainly hamper necessary discussion around their words and actions. Now, however, they've seen how masterfully President Trump has used that. Again, going back in the analogy that we made to the way that FDR used the new media of radio with his fireside chats, President Trump has been able to speak directly to the people going over the heads of the corporate media who oppose him, and that has to be stopped. But of course, you know, again, for those of us who have more than 100,000 followers, we'll still be censored. We'll still be capped. There won't be any notification if they don't like our political content. And believe me, they don't like my political content at all. They don't like my health content either. I talk about vaccines, mandatory vaccines and so forth. They don't like that. They don't like when I talk about the CIA or wars. But of course, you can find me and follow me and ferret out what I put up there, I guess. You can go to Libertarian. You know, there was one of the congressional representatives. Where is that clip? What's the guy's name? Oh, Senator Johnson. He questioned Instagram, suggesting the suggesting follow algorithm. And as a matter of fact, guys, let's just jump off of this. Can you get that clip number 12? I want to jump off the debate for just a second, and let's play what Senator Johnson said about Instagram suggested follows. And then I'll tell you my personal experience with this. Here's what Senator Johnson is just now discovering. Play that clip.
And so I had staff on Instagram go to the political account. And by the way, I have a video of this, so I'd like to enter that into the record. They hit follow. And this is what the list they were given, and this is in the exact order, and I'd ask the audience and the witnesses to just see if there's a conservative in here, how many there are. Here's the list. Elizabeth Warren, Kamala Harris, New York Times, Huffington Post, Bernie Sanders, CNN Politics, New York Times Opinion, NPR, Economist, Nancy Pelosi, The Daily Show, Washington Post covering POTUS, NBC, Wall Street Journal. Pete Buttigieg, Time, New Yorker, Reuters, Southern Poverty Law Center, Kirsten Gillibrand, The Guardian, BBC News, ACLU, Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, Beto O'Rourke, Real Time with Bill Maher, C-SPAN, SNL, Pete Souza, UN, Guardian, HuffPost Women's, Late Show with Stephen Colbert, MoveOn.org, Washington Post Opinion, USA Today, New Yorker, Women's March, Late Night with Seth Meyers, The Hill, CBS, Justin Trudeau, it goes on. These are five conservative staff members. If they're really algorithms shuffling the content that they might actually want to or that they would agree with, you'd expect you'd see maybe Fox News, Breitbart, Newsmax. You might even see like a really big name like Donald Trump, and there wasn't. So my question is, who's producing that list? Is that Instagram? Is that political site? How is that being generated? I have a hard time feeling that's generated or being manipulated by an algorithm or by AI.
You know, I don't know any, I'd be really curious to know what the click pattern was that, in other words, you open up an Instagram account and it's blank and you're saying that if you just ask crew life follow.
That's enough. You have him noticing. He's now noticed. I tell you what, Senator Johnson, did you notice that InfoWars got banned by all the big tech companies last August off of social media? Do you care about that? Do you notice that? You're talking about Instagram. Did you notice that they just banned Alex Jones everywhere? My program as well, off of Instagram, Facebook. We're gone. We're not getting little misdirection of suggestions. That was going on years ago, Senator. You better get with the program. You better figure out what this pattern is. These people are absolutely clueless. It goes beyond social media even. And suppression of the independent press, suppression of your free speech. They're going on to Election Guard. You got Microsoft and these Silicon Valley people. Microsoft is one of the first companies to join in the PRISM program we saw from Ed Snowden. They've now got Microsoft working with DARPA. DARPA is funding a corporation. And of course, their only investor is DARPA. This corporation is now working under Microsoft to produce Election Guard. They're creating an operating system to count the votes. It isn't even going to matter if you get past their censorship if they count the votes. These senators are absolutely clueless, or they're just virtue signaling out there. Let me tell you my personal experience. My wife, he wants to talk about his staffers having suggestions of who they follow, and it's nothing but liberal politicians and liberal establishment media. My wife on Twitter gets suggestions that she should follow AOC and that she should, hey, do you want to stop notifications from David Knight? And basically most of what she does is tweet out what I do. You know, she's looking at my stuff all the time. Oh, I like that, tweets that. She probably retweets me more than anybody else, but do you want to stop getting notification from the guy that you tweet the most? That's what they say. Because they don't like me. They don't like my politics, my views. They want to purge me out. And even if they don't remove me, which they've already done, many social media platforms, they want to gag this. These senators are absolutely useless and clueless as to what's going on. Folks, there aren't any heroes that are going to save us from all of this. We've got a little bit over a minute, and then we're going to go to some of your phone calls. We've got some people waiting on the line. Again, if you want to join the program, want to comment on anything that's happened the last couple of nights or on any of these other issues about free speech, the border, the Iran war, any of that stuff, just call in 888-201-2244. Let's finish up with the Democrats pledging to raise taxes, because then we're going to tell you how they all raise their hand because they want to give taxpayer-funded health care for foreign citizens. Everybody in the world, come here. See, this is the whole deal. They're going to raise taxes, and it's not going to be for you. You don't count. Your vote's not going to count, and you don't count. You're just here to fund health care for anybody in the world and education. Anybody in the world that wants to come here, you're going to pay for it. Let's go back to these Democrats.
At the European level, it would generate over $800 billion in new revenue, which combined with the money in our hands, it would be the trickle-up economy from our people, families, and communities up. We would spend the money and it would circulate through our regional economies and neighborhoods, creating millions of jobs, making our families stronger and healthier. We'd save money on things like incarceration, homelessness services, emergency room health care. And just the value gains from having a stronger, healthier, mentally healthier population would increase GDP by $700 billion. This is the move that we have to make, particularly as technology is now automating away millions of American jobs. It's why Donald Trump is our president today, that we automated away 4 million manufacturing jobs in Michigan, Ohio, and Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. And we're about to do the same thing to millions of retail jobs, call center jobs.
So everybody needs a government handout until they can soft kill us and sterilize us. We'll be right back.
I just want listeners to understand, money is what allows us to beat this and stand against this. And we're seeing a lot of orders right now with the Save InfoWars 50% off, but we make only like $5, $10 on higher marked up stuff. We're making like $2 on the toothpaste at that price. And we're moving a ton of it, okay? But you move a couple $100,000 or something and you get $20,000. That doesn't pay for all the infrastructure, the bandwidth, the lawyers, the crew. So we need to sell millions and millions and millions of dollars of product. I want to expand, not contract. And for 6 months, we've not just been at a standstill. Still, the enemy's been winning, and I have labored and labored and labored and labored on this. I like to be expanding. I like to be winning. I like to be fighting. And we are winning the info war. That's why we're so hated. But we need to be retreaded. We need to be tuned up. We need to be fixed up. We never have time to get into dry dock. We got a lot of holes shot at us, and the enemy wants to silence us. Then they're really going to plant child porn on us. Then they're going to kill me or you or anybody else. I mean, the Democrats now are going into a full revolutionary fervor funded by foreign banks and the Chi-Com. So go to InfoWarsStore.com.
InfoWars, the most
expand network in the world.
Viewers and listeners, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. And we're under unprecedented evil attacks, as you've seen. But I wanted to take just a minute out here from the bottom of my heart to tell you how much it means to me that when you saw all those lies against us last week, the worst things you can say about people, that you knew they were liars. You went and looked it up and found out the truth. And so I feel very strong, and I feel God's hand on my shoulder, and I feel your love in my heart. And I want you to know that love is right back at you. And I want to thank you for all you've done with your word of mouth and your prayers and your financial support. Because I'm committed to fight to the end, but I want to win. And without you, I'm going to be destroyed, and it's not going to be fun. But that's not what's important. The enemy could win. We're a key chess piece in this fight. We're being used by God. You're being used by God. This is Providence. So I salute you, and I thank you for all you've done from the bottom of my heart.
InfoWars, the most banned network in the world.
Briefly, folks, please do not forget, this is the Maximum Alert. We wouldn't be here without you. I thank you for your support and your help. We're going to be steadfast in this fight, but we need financial support, and we're going to put up more prominent donate buttons at InfoWarsStore.com. If you want to just give us straight donations, there's a P.O. box. If you want to mail us a check, we will put it into the fight against these globalists. We need money to fight back and to let them know we're taking action and to defend ourselves. InfoWarsStore.com is the main page. We have a huge sale going. Save InfoWars, super special, emergency special, 50% off. All InfoWars best-selling life products, all of them, 50% off. That's Super Male Vitality, Survival Shield X2, now back in stock. Brain Force Plus, Turbo Force, Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula, so many more. Stock up on the toothpaste, the coffee. Sign up for AutoShip, get an additional 10% off. And I forgot, double Patriot points. Instead of 5% off on future orders, you get 10% off. And again, cancel AutoShip anytime for free. We need the funding. Thank you for your support. We're getting a lot of support right now, but we need a lot to go into this dark night. We're not going to back down.
It's not only that you have a unique voice in the public arena, in the public square. The other thing that's unique about InfoWars is it is the only network of this reach that is not backed by a corporate donor or corporate sugar daddy, that's not backed by some billionaire, that's not being funded by a secret foreign government. It is completely independent of all that. It is an old school American 1776 style experiment in the expression of the freedom of press and freedom of speech that, in fact, the founders were so concerned with at the beginning of the country, they actually tried to support and subsidize organizations just like this because this was the kind of press they wanted. And then ultimately, we now live in an era where they've mostly been co-opted by big corporations or billionaire sugar daddies who've been able to control and manipulate what news and views the person's allowed to have or express or hear. And the InfoWars audience has broken through that. They are the bridge from the founding to the modern age, ultimate American democracy and freedom. And that's why there's been an unprecedented onslaught of deplatforming, defamation, lawfare, and libel targeting you.
You're listening to The David Knight Show. Using free speech to free minds. It's The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. We're going to go to some of your calls here. We're going to be playing clips from the debates the last couple of days. And, of course, we just played a mashup of all the Democrats pledging the various ways that they're going to raise taxes. Again, having no problem saying we're going to give you a 70% tax rate. Like I said, that was a question that was asked to Beto. He didn't want to answer that. He had a prepared soundbite in Spanish, which was a non sequitur, had absolutely nothing to do with answering the question about a 70% tax rate. But then you had de Blasio, a Marxist, who on his honeymoon violated American law and went to Cuba, Fidel Castro. And then in Miami, he's quoting Che Guevara to the Cuban community there that at least my generation and my parents' generation didn't want to hear anything about South American communists if they were Cuban. They knew all about South American communists, and they didn't think too highly of them. Most of them were Republicans. Nevertheless, these people are kind of tone deaf about that, and they love their socialism so much, just like Bernie Sanders going to the Soviet Union just before it fell for his honeymoon and reveling in the camaraderie, I guess you could say, of communism. These people openly embrace all of this stuff, and they're going to raise your taxes to pay for, not for benefits for you. You can forget about that American dream. You can forget about the American dream of owning a home, of even having a larger apartment because of the property taxes that are going to have to be raised to pay for schooling for anybody in the world who wants to come here. Free K through 12, and that's not good enough. Now the Democrats want free college as well, and probably postgraduate school as well. And they want to give free taxpayer-funded health care for all illegal aliens. Last night, they asked them a question. All 10 candidates raised their hand. Yes, we want to fund free health care for all foreign citizens who criminally trespass our borders. Every other country, as I've said before, even third world countries like Belize, you got to show the people before you immigrate there. You've got to show the authorities that you have sufficient wealth and income to provide for yourself and your families, but not here. Democrats want us to pay for that because Americans don't count. They give foreign citizens criminally trespassing superior college benefits. You can go to any of these states. You don't have to be a resident of the state, of course. But, you know, if you're an American citizen, you've got to reside in that state in order to get an in-state tuition. But not for a foreign citizen. They can take their pick, go wherever they want. And let me tell you how bad this is. This morning as I was going in to get coffee, Fox News had a kid on. They were saying, oh, well, let's talk to this DACA recipient who supports President Trump. Yeah, because President Trump hasn't gotten rid of that fiction. That is a fiction. It was an executive order from the previous administration, the Department of Homeland Security, saying we're not going to enforce the law. These dreamers, and they call them dreamers, they never passed a DREAM Act. You got courts saying that President Trump cannot throw out that executive order. And Fox News is there talking to this guy who came here. He wasn't even born here. It doesn't even use the fiction of being an anchor baby. And again, 14th Amendment, that was for people who were born on American soil to parents who are under the jurisdiction of people subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. That was to solve the problem of newly freed slaves. And they made it clear, you got to be under the jurisdiction of the United States. A foreign citizen is not. They don't even care what our border laws are. And as the Democrats are saying, well, we've got to decriminalize that. So they're admitting that these people are criminals. They're admitting that there's a law. They're ignoring the law. They're not enforcing it. So you got the DACA people like this kid who came here after he was born, but before a certain age. And Fox News is just talking, oh, isn't this wonderful? Just falling all over themselves about this kid. He got a free college education. He's now working for a Fortune 500 company. And this is great because the Republicans and President Trump are going to take care of him. Who's going to take care of your kids, Americans? Who's going to do that for you? All these people are going to get free health care. Already we're paying $18.5 billion a year to provide health care to illegals. President Trump came out and said, well, all Democrats just raise their hands for giving millions. No, President Trump, billions, billions with a B. Of illegal, he's talking about the millions of illegal aliens, unlimited health care. Yeah, it'll be millions of aliens, but it'll be hundreds of billions of dollars worth of money. He says, how about taking care of American citizens first? How about that, President Trump? That'd be a good idea, wouldn't it? Why don't you do that? Why don't you say we're not going to let any of these people have welfare? You got to be an American citizen at least. At least let's constrain the unsustainable welfare state to just American citizens. Even President Trump won't do that. Build the wall, remember that? Remember that? Remember, no more foreign wars, no endless wars. And now we have, even though we're spending nearly $20 billion for health care for illegal aliens right now, President Trump and his son-in-law have proposed giving $50 billion to Palestinians. The Palestinians don't even have to come here to get welfare from us. We're going to pay them to be nice and peaceful. We're going to try to bribe them to be peaceful. And that's 2.5 times what we're already paying the illegal aliens. And now the Senate, under Mitch McConnell, has just approved $4.6 billion to give more away at the border. See, you don't count. Your families don't count. It's only the families that are being split up at the border because we're not sure if the kids are being trafficked. Okay, but they're going to come and take your kids. CPS will. You won't get any due process. They'll remove them, play all these legal, quasi-legal tricks. So they're not. None of it is legal. I've talked to one person after the other about CPS. And the Democrats don't give a flip about what's happening to American citizens and having family separations with CPS. Billions of dollars made by these bureaucracies in terms of doing that. That's the real child trafficking that's going on in this country, and the Democrats don't care a bit about that. This is all for show. It's nothing but grandstanding and a play. Let's go to some of your calls. Let's go to Duke in Oklahoma. Thank you for holding, Duke.
David, thanks for having my call.
Oh, thank you for holding. Go ahead.
Well, you know, last night was really an eye-opener for me. It reminds me of when I was 5 years old and a tornado had hit my aunt and uncle's mobile home that we were staying at. And as the tornado picked up the home, I remember closing my eyes because I was so scared of what was going on around me that I just didn't want to open my eyes and see what was happening. And, you know, I just couldn't believe that we have stooped that low in the office of the United States that they can go and just, I mean, hammer. Let's give the illegals this. Let's give the illegals that.
That was the whole purpose of the whole debate. For the last couple of nights, I feel like I'm watching something from a foreign country because everything is like, what can we do for the families of the border? How can we give them health care? How can we bring in more of them? How can we facilitate bringing in more and more people? They don't even talk about doing anything for the American people. It's all about foreign citizens who want to come here illegally.
So what are we going to do? I mean, how are we going to combat this when we have such chaos going on in our government that's supposed to be watching out for the American people and our rights as citizens in this country, the freedoms that we've been given from the forefathers that have bled and died for this country, for our rights to be here and to be free?
Well, I don't think we're going to get any solutions from Washington. I don't think President Trump is going to be able to or will do it. He's being gaslighted by his lawyers there. I've got an article here talking to a person who wants to remain anonymous. That's in the Department of Homeland Security and the Trump administration saying, look, all the lawyers are telling President Trump he can't do anything with the military at the border because it violates posse comitatus. That's not true. Posse comitatus, again, you know, we talked about the 14th Amendment and how they twisted that to give us anchor babies. They're now twisting posse comitatus, which was put in to stop the abuses of Reconstruction. They said you're not going to use the army as law enforcement within the United States. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about stopping a foreign incursion across our borders. That's precisely the purpose of the army to do that sort of thing. But there, he's being gaslighted. In that article, they talk about how former governors of Texas used the Texas Rangers to stop it. That's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to get some governors with backbone. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
In the 40 years that I've been in American politics, I've never seen a situation with the mainstream media in which facts and truth and evidence no longer matters. The false claim that you purposely sent kiddie porn to the Sandy Hook plaintiffs is ludicrous as well as false. It's a smear. Somebody sends you something that's encrypted. You don't even open it. It ends up swept up in the discovery of 9 million documents, and then it's blamed on you. This is Kafka-esque. This is bizarre. But the way the mainstream media rushes out to say Jones sent kiddie porn is really outrageous. I have a lot of respect for those media outlets and those commentators who retracted and corrected and clarified. But I wonder, where are the big boys? Where's the Wall Street Journal? Where's Associated Press? When are they going to report that they made a mistake and what they said about you was inaccurate? So we both need your help, and I urge folks to continue to support InfoWars with your dollars.
I want to be very, very clear with everybody about all of this. We're going into the season of war, and they have been inches from shutting down the final bank accounts we have due to their criminal activity and their digital fraud. And we need to know that we've got capital to go 6 months, a year. We need to end here. We need to be provisioned. And you've got my total commitment that I am going to rampage forward against the enemy fearlessly. I'm loving every minute of this because I know I'm getting under their skin. I'm bloodying them up politically. I'm banging heads with them, and they can't help but attack back with lies, and that just brings more people here. So I'm in one hell of a fight, and so are you, and I need war bonds, I need gas, I need ammo politically now. But literally, if you flood us with money, and if you flood us with product purchases, and if you flood us with your word of mouth, you're unstoppable, we're unstoppable together. I want to send a strong message to the enemy. I want to raise $2 million right now to let the enemy know that their attacks are failing and that you will stand with us, and I will never back down. You have my commitment. This only gives me more energy and more understanding of what we're facing and that we were right about this. Let's talk to Marcus in New York. Marcus, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Alex. Yeah, I just want to say, your show is a breath of fresh air. I talk to a lot of people here out in New York City, and one thing I can tell you is that almost nobody agrees with these wars. I think that the neocons are trying desperately to get Trump to go to a war because they know that that's the only way that they could defeat him in the eyes of the public, the approaching 2020.
That's it. I mean, if Trump buys into this, it'll be the end of his presidency. It's the only way I think he can be defeated other than assassinating him. It's a time to be praying, my friend.
I agree entirely. And the last thing I just want to say, Alex, is I know they're trying to shut you down, but the reinforcements have arrived, man. I would love to see you on air until you're 80 years old. I would love to see what you're talking about when you're 80. But if they do shut you down, know you've gone into this war. You've won a lot of battles, and there are a lot of people like myself and many others who are going to continue. We're going to keep fighting in the info war. And even if something does happen to you or your show, know for a fact that you've gotten a lot of people fired up for liberty.
Thank you, sir, for calling. I talk about this on the air, and I know it sinks into people, but I've decided that we're going to kind of reboot all our supplements, and that if you go back 5-6 years ago, before all the censorship and attacks and fake lawsuits, the rest of it, I would talk about how great the products are and how they were the best and why they were, and I'd have doctors on and experts to explain why they were so good. And instead, the last few years, I'm like, hey, you need to really support us, or they'll shut us down. The biggest thing people like to buy is supplements because they know how great they are and how wonderful they were. And the left always has headlines everywhere. Jones sells unapproved supplements that he claims or supplements. No, under federal law since 1996, you can't say that a supplement has been through the FDA because they have no jurisdiction and won't look at it. But then they say you've got to say it's not approved by them. And all drugs are is the system trying to tweak what's in Mother Nature and manipulate it and do different things. And a lot of drugs work great. They have side effects, not with Mother Nature, but Big Pharma doesn't want you knowing about God's medicine chest. InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. We've got a lot of callers on the line. We had to go to break. We were talking to Duke in Oklahoma. Duke, you had more that you wanted to say about the awakening you had watching these people who don't care a flip about Americans. They're just concerned about how much money they can give to foreign citizens to entice them to come in because they're going to be their new political base. You know, we've heard for so long, don't worry about the 70% tax rate. That's going to be paid by those rich American. Those rich people here in America that you really hate, you know, this whole envy angle of socialism. We're going to tax the rich. You know, the income tax started. Only the upper 1% were taxed, and it was only on income, wasn't on wages. And they had a very, very low tax rate. It's like a 1% rate on the upper 1% income earners and only on their investment income and their business income. And then what happened? Look at your taxes now. Taxes on your wages, the middle class. And now what they're telling the foreign citizens, come on here. Don't worry. We'll give you free everything, free education, free health care, you name it, everything for free. And we'll tax those rich middle class Americans. We'll give them, we'll give their money to you. Just like they've always promised you that they're going to give the richer Americans money to you, the middle class. Now they're promising the foreign citizens are going to give the middle class American money to the new constituents that they have, the people who are going to be dependent. That's the key thing. They want people to be dependent on them. Duke, final comments. Go ahead.
Well, this is very serious what we're watching unfold in front of our eyes. It's almost like a deer in the headlight. Look, we're all sitting here going, oh my God, what did they just say? What are they trying to pull? What are they doing? We have got to take this serious. This is a tornado coming towards us. This is coming towards us. It's getting here faster than we can even imagine. I believe that's why we're all kind of staring in the light going, what in the heck is going on? People need to wake up now.
Structures that they're putting in, these senators are still out there talking to the low information citizens who don't listen to this program and the other programs we have here at InfoWars. We've been talking about this stuff about shadow banning and the way that they rigged the social media. You just now got Republican senators who are talking about this as maybe being a possibility. It's like, come on, guys, you better have a strategy because this stuff is accelerating. Every couple of days, we see new control tactics being put on our free speech, on the free press. And it's absolutely amazing how they are just stuck there. But just consider the fact that we had the entire government shut down because President Trump wanted to spend $5 billion on a war. Now, a wall. Now they're going to spend $5 billion handing out goodies to people at the border, and they had no problem getting that through.
Our country's in chaos, and we have got to step up, and we have got to realize what we're facing, and we have to get together on this, and we have to do something about it. I don't know how it's going to end up. I have no idea. This is, like I said, it's like a tornado coming at us. Where it takes us, we don't know, but something's got to give. Something's got to break. We have got to step up and make things happen for this country, not for the illegal immigrants in our country.
That's right. Well, I can tell you that I don't believe that anything is going to be done at the Washington level. You got people like Mitch McConnell. They won't push $5 billion for a wall through, but they'll push $5 billion for welfare for people at the border through. No problem at all with that. They will shut the government down. And of course, President Trump, to get the government open again, he signed away many of his powers and authorities to protect our government. He signed that away to Nancy Pelosi. You're not going to get Trump or the Republicans to defend the border. You're going to have to elect governors to defend the border. The problem is now most of the border states are Democrat and they don't want any protection of the border. I don't really know where the solution is. I mean, we've got a governor here in Texas, Governor Abbott, who typically does the right thing on many issues, but he's not even protecting the border to the level that Rick Perry did. Rick Perry used the Texas Rangers to stop what was happening at the border. And let me, just before we go to our other caller here, let me finish up with this, because as we're talking about the fact that you can't use posse comitatus, this is a DHS attorney who spoke on condition of anonymity. He said, despite the fact that a more aggressive and armed military posture at the border is purely repelling incursions from cartels and has nothing to do with posse comitatus limitations on enforcing interior domestic law, administration lawyers refuse to view it that way, and they're gaslighting President Trump. As I said before, posse comitatus was passed in the wake of Reconstruction. You had the U.S. military acting as a federal police force, taking over control of local areas. I said, we're not ever, they ended Reconstruction in the 1870s. I said, we're going to not ever have that again. Posse comitatus literally means the power of the community. When you look at a Western and the sheriff says, let's get a posse together, that is to protect the community. The power of the community resides in the sheriff and local law enforcement, and he would deputize people to keep the peace. And that's exactly what needs to be done. But what's happening at the border? We have people that act to protect the border. They're arrested, charged with felonies. This is the insanity of what we have going on here. What they said, one last thing from this, the cartels are invading while the military plays humanitarian roles. They said, the cartels said, Border Patrol agent, he said the cartels are much smarter than people give them credit for. They know that the military has been given orders only to alert Border Patrol of incursions rather than deterring them and pushing them back across the river. As such, they will literally cross in rafts right in front of the military vehicles that are often armed with weapons. They know that they won't touch them. They know that our agents are so tied down with their strategic weaponization of family units that it'll take too long for us to arrive at the scene. And so that's the reality of this. What'd you say?
I don't like the direction that this is going in. America needs to wake up now before it's too late.
Exactly. I got one more thing I'll say, and this is Jason Jones, a former captain of the Texas Rangers Border Security Operations Center, is dumbfounded that the federal government won't patrol the international border the way his state troopers did under Rick Perry. He said the military pilots need to get their hours anyway. And he said they've got infinitely more resources than we did. But now the Texas Rangers are not protecting the border either. And we have the story saying they can't even fly a drone over the Rio Grande because they're afraid the drone might get into the airspace of Mexico. Look, we don't have any problem flying drones over the airspace of Iran. We don't have any problem sending a massive fleet to go chest bump other ships in the Strait of Hormuz, hoping that we'll get a conflict and can start a war. We don't have a problem sending thousands of troops to monitor the Iranian border, monitor Iran's activities, but we won't monitor our own border. We won't use a drone to look at our own border. We don't care anymore about America. And this is the Trump administration. The buck stops with President Trump. Let's go. Thank you, Duke. Let's go to Jefferson in Virginia. Go ahead, Jefferson.
Good morning, David. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, thank you for holding. Go ahead.
I have two questions for you. One is, for Robert Barnes and you, when you get together, when did the Supreme Court ever rule explicitly that mass media, mass multimedia, is the same thing as the printing press?
When is mass media the same thing as a printing press?
Right.
Well, I don't know. I mean, and where do you, I mean, in what context here?
Well, the printing press can't cause a stampede of thought like mass media can. It's a threat to public safety that mass media is like yelling fire in a crowded theater. You can't make somebody read a paper, but you can't avoid hearing the radio. So when were those two things conflated as the same thing? Maybe it's a stupid question. Maybe it's so simple that we just overlook it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just think what they're talking about is not necessarily a physical item. I understand you're just saying that the reach of an individual paper is not the same as the reach of these other institutions. I would like to get them to rule, go back to Marsh versus Alabama in 1946, where they threw the lady out that was handing out pamphlets. And the company town, everything was owned by one company. They owned the public square. The Supreme Court said in 1946, even if the public square is privately owned, you can't stop free speech there. And that's exactly what these people have said. We've had Jack Dorsey say at least 8 times in congressional hearings that he had created a digital public square. You've had you had Facebook say the same thing. And yet they're saying we're private and we can censor your speech. They can't. It's not the same thing. All right, we got to take a quick break. And folks, listen, we have a sale that's going on right now, an emergency sale. We have dropped prices at InfoWarsStore.com by 50%. 50% off all the vitamins and mineral supplements, all the health supplements, natural, safe, effective supplements. Do your homework when you find out what supplements you need. You're not going to find any better quality supplements anywhere than we have at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, 50% off, free shipping store-wide, double Patriot points, InfoWarsStore.com. We really do appreciate your support, and we need it. You are our only sponsor. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Robert Barnes, what has big tech become?
Big tech are big babies that have become big bullies. And the way they did so is because they faced no consequence, social, economic, political, or legal, for their illicit activities over 2 decades. And because of that, that's why the courts, the judges, the juries, the members of the independent free press that care about this, the ordinary members of the public and the audience that care about this, have to bring real social, political, economic consequence to their course of conduct. Otherwise, they will never change. And they will become the big tech oligarchs, the equivalent to the big trust of the 19th century, who ran American politics and ran American economy almost into the ground until we were able to recover after the Great Depression. The InfoWars audience is the fuel that flames the light of liberty across the world to make real the actions of independent free speech, to make real the original promise of an independent free press. Real collusion is big tech and big media manipulating and working with each other to try to meddle with elections, to try to shake people's thoughts.
And then the whopper of telling us the whole time it's not happening.
It's the ultimate form of gaslighting. What you just saw isn't what you just saw, even it is what you just saw.
Serving with InfoWars is a great honor, but I still need my morning coffee. And luckily, our break room at the InfoWars headquarters is stocked full of high-quality InfoWars store Patriot Blend coffee. Grown in the high mountains of southern Mexico, the Chiapas farmers grow 100% organic, non-GMO coffee at the ideal altitude for the perfect cup. A robust coffee with great flavor and mild acidity. There has never been a more important time to support InfoWars. So if you love coffee, and if you want to fight for freedom, then you can help. Order now at the InfoWars store. Sign up for AutoShip and get your own high-quality supply of Patriot Blend coffee delivered right to your door at InfoWarsStore.com.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. We're taking callers. We're talking to Jefferson in Virginia. Jefferson, I know that you wanted to talk about paper ballots versus electronic voting. And we started out by talking about the paper press, the traditional paper press, versus electronic broadcast media. And, of course, there's a huge difference, as you pointed out, in reach there. But the same issue is there when we talk about going to electronic voting, the potential. All these people are saying, look, the Russians hacked our election. I mean, quite frankly, anybody could hack our election. DARPA, the same people who tried to take out President Trump, could easily hack our election. They've got an app for that. You know, they lie, they cheat, they steal elections. They have classes on that. They have apps on that that they're putting in place right now. I mean, what are your comments about that?
I'm still here. Before we move on to that, let's go to Martian versus Alabama. She was using the printing press, the pamphlets, to hand them out. She wasn't opening a radio station in the town without permission. She was using the printing press. That's what they ruled on. My question is about the elections. Would we support President Trump if he simply just said, I've had enough of this, we're going to call off the election until we fix this whole electioneering money and politics problem? Would we support him in that if he just declared an emergency and said, continuity of government, we're not going to have national elections at all until we fix all of this?
I think that's not the right way to go. I think that would definitely, there's so many things that could easily be done. I would support President Trump if he would say, we're not going to let the Supreme Court dictate every detail of our lives. We have precedents for that. The Supreme Court has in the past made decisions that other presidents have ignored. Andrew Jackson. President Trump loves Andrew Jackson. He's got pictures of Andrew Jackson. Well, look at what Andrew Jackson did when the Supreme Court reversed itself within 1 year. Andrew Jackson said, well, they've made their decision. Let's see them enforce it. And that's what the founders had said. The founders said the least dangerous of the branches of government is the judiciary, because they don't have the ability to enforce their decisions. Now they've become the most dangerous because we have the president as well as the Congress bowing down to them, and these unelected lifetime appointments to these people. They can make any kind of pronouncement about anything, no matter how ridiculous. Just take the census question, for example. You know, President Trump is going to try to now, he's not going to directly challenge the Supreme Court. He's going to try to go with a workaround. Well, maybe we can delay the census. And I don't think that delaying the election would work any better than delaying the census. He needs to go right to the source. The real reform needs to come with the president, with the Congress, saying we're not going to allow you to, we're going to overthrow. We've had the Supreme Court reverse themselves so many times on so many different issues. We need to reverse their decision, Marbury versus Madison, where they say, we're going to tell you what the Constitution says. I don't need them to tell me what it says. It's written in English. I don't need the Supreme Court to interpret it. The Supreme Court was there to adjudicate problems between states primarily, not to define what life is and when it begins, not to define what marriage is and when it begins, not to tell us what questions can be asked on the census. I mean, Roberts even said that, but then they took that down. So these people have abdicated power to the unelected permanent bureaucracy. They've abdicated power to the unelected permanent Supreme Court people that are there. We now have not only taxation without representation, we got legislation without representation. I think what President Trump needs to do is to take on that power structure and say, look, I have the constitutional authority to protect the border, and I don't care what every single, I don't need the unanimous support of 3,500 federal judges and the Supreme Court to protect the border. I have the power to do that. I would like to see him do that. If he did that, he wouldn't have to worry about the election that much. But my concern about this, Jefferson, is the fact that we have electronic voting, we have election guard, and these people are going to be rigging this election far more than the broadcast media does if we go that route. They really will rig the election. All right, we'll be right back. Stay with us.
InfoWars, the most banned network in the world.
So the InfoWars model is a self-fulfilling, self-supporting structure that is promoting free press and free speech by people getting together and supporting one another and sustaining one another. It is the only independent press of this size and scale, of this public reach. It is the one model that says, here's a way to have a self-supporting, self-sustaining, self-structured, little d democratic structure that, because the audience determines what content goes up, the audience determines what audience is ultimately reached by their choices in supporting InfoWars. And it's all because the audience spends their whatever it is, whether it's $5 or $50 a month on products that they like and that they want that actually compete with the corporate-driven model. And the ability to do that and at the same time support press, support speech, support letting the audience choose what news they want to see and what views they want to hold. And it's the ultimate American democratic expression and experiment, and it is the celebration of free press and free speech with free markets.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. We've seen the federal government and our trade policies, our open trade. We've seen that replace our domestic factories with foreign factories. We've seen our open borders replace our American workers with foreign workers. So we export our factories, we import our workers now. And now they made it clear they don't even want to count us for political power allocation with the census. Supreme Court says we don't count. They really want to count the foreign citizens here. Because they really want to replace Americans with foreign voters. That's the bottom line. You know, two nights ago we had them speaking in Spanish because, you know, those are the Americans of the future. You speak American, if you speak English and your family has been here for a long period of time, they don't want the American culture. They don't want the Constitution. We don't have anything that remotely resembles the Constitution. Not even remotely. And of course, you know, they want to move on to another language and another people. That's what this is all about. The Dalai Lama is talking about that in Europe, of course. He's saying, you know, look, and he's a political refugee himself. But he says, bring these people in here, give them some skills, but you got to send them back home, because if you don't, Europe is going to become Africa, or it's going to become the Middle East or whatever. He understands what's going on with that. Now, he's going to get a lot of flack for that, but he's absolutely right. We now have a California bill to allow non-citizens to become Democrat Party delegates. They want to count them in the census. And again, if they don't give them the vote in federal elections, they will still get greater California Democrats will still get greater representation in both Congress and the Electoral College, because representation is based on the census. So if they can count foreign citizens living in that sanctuary state, they can get more political power, more money. And the federal judges have said that. They said, that's why we don't want you asking this question, because it'll cost us political power, it'll cost us money, and we want those foreign citizens to give us that power. So even if they don't vote, it's going to rig this for California. And so in a gesture of appreciation, California wants foreign citizens to be Democrat Party delegates. I think that's perfectly appropriate. As I said, my takeaway from the last two nights is I'm watching a debate from a political party that despises America, wants to replace it with foreign citizens. Everything for foreigners. Which, by the way, is kind of like what La Raza is, right? La Raza means the race. Everything for the race. Nothing for anybody that's outside of the race. Well, what the federal government, what the Democrat Party has become, is a party that wants everything for the foreigners, nothing for anybody but foreigners. We have 8 out of the 10 people there said they want open borders. Let's play video clip number 3.
Very spirited debate on this stage last night on the topic of decriminalization of the border. If you'd be so kind, raise your hand if you think it should be a civil offense rather than a crime to cross a border without documentation. Can we keep the hands up so we could see them?
Let's remember, that's not just a theoretical exercise. That criminalization, that is the basis for family separation. You do away with that, it's no longer possible. Of course, it wouldn't be possible anyway in my presidency because it is dead wrong.
See, American families don't matter. When they separate American families here for no reason, because you don't vaccinate your kids, because you homeschool your kids, because your neighbor complained about it, whatever the reason. You know, you didn't take your kid to the emergency service when we told you to, even though his fever stopped, okay? We're going to separate the families. We're not going to even allege that there was any physical or sexual abuse in many of these cases. We're just going to take the kids without any due process. We're not even going to tell you what the charges are. You just sign this and turn your kids over to us. They don't care about families. I am so sick and tired of these people only focused on foreign families. They don't care about American families. They don't care about Americans. And they admit it. It is a crime. You notice that? Oh, well, what if we were to take this from being an actual, you know, they've told us all this time. It's not a crime. It's not a crime. They're not illegal. There's nothing wrong with that. And now they're saying it is a crime, and so let's not make it a crime. Let's make it a misdemeanor. But it is a crime. And they are obstructing justice. They're aiding and abetting foreign citizens to commit crimes. They don't want to remove them. Let's play video clip number 4. Kamala Harris actually brags about how she broke the law to keep illegally here foreign citizens criminally trespassing. Keep these illegal aliens here. Let's run video clip number 4.
I was Attorney General of California. I led the second largest Department of Justice in the United States, second only to the United States Department of Justice in a state of 40 million people. And on this issue, I disagreed with my president because the policy was to allow deportation of people who, by ICE's own definition, were non-criminals. So as Attorney General and the Chief Law Officer of the state of California, I issued a directive to the sheriffs of my state that they did not have to comply with detainers and instead should make decisions based on the best interest of public safety of their community. Because what I saw, and I was tracking it every day, I was tracking it and saw that parents, people who had not committed a crime, even by ICE's own definition, were being deported. And
that's a flat-out law. Let's just hold this right there. They just talked about how it's a criminal process to come here, right, across the border. They just admitted that. Well, let's make it a non-crime. And then she talks about how she helped them to violate the law, violate the deportation. You know, we've got people here they're fighting to keep here who've not only broken the law, committed a crime. It's not a misdemeanor. It is a crime. They just admitted that. Coming across the border, they then go to a hearing before a judge. The judge says you've got to go back to your home in the other country. So two times. They've defied the law. They've defied the judge's order. They defied the border law, and the Democrats are still fighting to keep them here. After President Trump was elected, Democrats in California started destroying records of gang members because they were afraid that President Trump was going to deport them. Don't worry, he's not. They're fine. They're fine. As a matter of fact, now you've got in Dallas, you've got the Dallas municipal authorities or have approved $100,000 in taxpayer money to pay for legal defense of illegal aliens. Yeah, this is the insanity of all this. And they're going to have the taxpayers pay to defend them in court to keep them from being deported. Let's get video clip number 9 because, you know, Nancy Pelosi is also saying that, you know, violation of immigration status, you know, violating the law coming across the border, violating your status, being a gang member, having tattoos on your face that say you're a gang member. None of that. None of that. You know, we got to catch you red-handed cutting the head off of your high school classmates because, you know, the boyfriend-girlfriend dispute or something. That's the only time that we can do something about it. And we're not really sure about that either. Because in jurisdictions like Washington State, they let murderers stay. Because, if you're a murderer, but you're a foreign citizen, you kind of get some superior, you're treated better than if you're an American murderer. You got to be a foreign murderer, then we're going to bend the law here a little bit for you. We're not going to be so hard on you. Here's Nancy Pelosi, video clip number 9.
So, and that is really kind of what happened. He didn't say what he was going to do, but the president said, I'll let you know. Went into, people broke the law. So this, A violation of status is not a reason for deportation. That's just not so.
Not a reason. We don't care. You know, it's just a, you know, it's just one community. Just want to, it just happens to have a border going across it. We don't really care about that. She said in the past, you know, it's kind of like, you know, if, the border between, Texas and Oklahoma, we don't really care. Who's to care about that, you know? We're going to come back to your phone calls, Jacob in Kansas, Brad in Kansas, Slick Willie and FEMA Region 4. We're going to come back to those. And then folks, if you want to join, you can call 888-201-2244. We'll take your comments or your questions on any topic, but primarily we're talking about the debates, but feel free to talk about any of these issues. You want to talk about the Iran war, what's going on with that, your take on solutions. We're kind of short on solutions here, aren't we? I don't think the solution resides in Washington. I don't think the solution resides in President Trump, quite frankly. I think the problem is that Republicans, just like Democrats, think all the problems can be solved in Washington. We've got to solve them at the local level. We'll be right back.
InfoWars and free speech and your right to speech has been under unprecedented attack the last year or so. It's Orwellian. It's biblical. It's authoritarian. It's insane. And I keep trying to judge and gauge when is the right time to have to stumble up on deck as the captain of this operation and say, hey, we're sinking. I've begged for your support before and thanks for keeping us afloat, but this is the real SOS. If you don't buy a bunch of products and spread the word and keep fighting, InfoWars will be shut down, not just crippled. And so we've reached that point. It'll make the enemy happy, but, you know, whatever. We have withstood so many of their attacks. We've gone through so much because of your support. You have been there. But let me tell you, they are pissed they haven't been successful, and they're giving us their full assault. So we need your prayers, your financial support, and your word of mouth now at InfoWarsStore.com. It's your fight. Decide whether or not you want InfoWars to continue, because we could be shut down.
It's not only that you have a unique voice in the public arena and the public square. The other thing that's unique about InfoWars is it is the only network of this reach that is not backed by a corporate donor or corporate sugar daddy, that's not backed by some billionaire, that's not being funded by a secret foreign government. It is completely independent of all that. It is an old school American 1776 style experiment in the expression of the freedom of press and freedom of speech that, in fact, the founders were so concerned with at the beginning of the country, they actually tried to support and subsidize organizations just like this because this was the kind of press they wanted. And then ultimately, we now live in an era where they've mostly been co-opted by big corporations or billionaire sugar daddies who've been able to control and manipulate what news and views the person's allowed to have or express or hear. And the InfoWars audience has broken through that. They are the bridge from the founding to the modern age, ultimate American democracy and freedom. And that's why there's been an unprecedented onslaught of deplatforming, defamation, lawfare, and libel targeting you.
I just want listeners to understand, money is what allows us to beat this and stand against this. And we're seeing a lot of orders right now with the Save InfoWars 50% off, but we make only like $5, $10 on higher marked up stuff. We're making like $2 on the toothpaste at that price. And we're moving a ton of it, okay? But you move a couple $100,000 or something and you get $20,000. That doesn't pay for all the infrastructure, the bandwidth, the lawyers, the crew. So we need to sell millions and millions and millions of dollars of product. I want to expand, not contract. And for 6 months, we've not just been able to stand still. The enemy's been winning. And I have labored and labored and labored and labored on this. I like to be expanding. I like to be winning. I like to be fighting. And we are winning the info war. That's why we're so hated. But we need to be retreaded. We need to be tuned up. We need to be fixed up. We never have time to get into dry dock. We got a lot of holes shot at us. And the enemy wants to silence us. Then they're really going to plant child porn on us. Then they're going to kill me or you or anybody else. I mean, the Democrats now are going into a full revolutionary fervor funded by foreign banks and the Chi-Com. So go to InfoWarsStore.com.
InfoWars, the most banned network in the world.
Viewers and listeners, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. And we're under unprecedented evil attacks, as you've seen. But I wanted to take just a minute out here from the bottom of my heart to tell you how much it means to me that when you saw all those lies against us last week, the worst things you can say about people, that you knew they were liars. You went and looked it up and found out the truth. And so I feel very strong, and I feel God's hand on my shoulder, and I feel your love in my heart. And I want you to know that love is right back at you. And I want to thank you for all you've done with your word of mouth and your prayers and your financial support. support because I'm committed to fight till the end, but I want to win. And without you, I'm going to be destroyed and it's not going to be fun. But that's not what's important. The enemy could win. We're a key chess piece in this fight. We're being used by God. You're being used by God. This is providence. So I salute you and I thank you for all you've done from the bottom of my heart.
InfoWars, the most banned network in the world. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Welcome back after the La Forner debates. Again, it's not La Raza anymore. It's not just a race. And they like to put all of this in racist terms. They were even criticized after the first night's debate. One of the leftist corporatist news sites said that there wasn't enough talk about racism on debate night number one. Yes, we kind of got it as a subtext with the border. And that's what they do. They make that about race. Except that, as we've seen, the Mexican equivalent of the Wall Street Journal did a poll. And they found that by a 2-to-1 margin, people in Mexico wanted their borders protected by the military from illegal immigration, foreign citizens criminally trespassing into Mexico. And they're saying, you know, keep the people from these other countries, even if they're also Hispanic countries. It's not an element of race that they're talking about there. And by a 3-to-1 margin, they want the Mexican government to deport the people who got past the borders and are there illegally. So by a 2-to-1 margin, protect the borders with the military. By a 3-to-1 margin, deport them. These are the people, and these are the Mexican people saying this. So it's not a racial issue. But we got La Raza, you know, everything for the race, nothing for anybody outside of the race. And quite frankly, when we look at La Raza of Democrat Party, the Democrat race, that race, it's become La Foreigner. Everything for the foreigners, nothing for anybody that's not a foreigner. And they're talking about, they keep going back to this picture of the dad and the toddler daughter who died swimming across the border. Yes, it is a tragedy. Who's responsible for that? Well, the Democrats say it's because we've got laws and because we've got President Trump, who's actually talked about enforcing the border, but not done anything about it. Trump doesn't have any responsibility for this whatsoever because he's done nothing to protect the borders. But Trump is right when he blames the Democrats. Let's just think, what would you say? And we've had these, this is not a hypothetical situation. We've had situations in the past where people have had contests, for example. Let's say that you come up with a contest, and I'll give you a real world example of this, but just in general, you come up with a contest, you have a big pot of money that you hold out there for people. However, there's a condition. They got to get into a contest, participate in some very dangerous activity where they could die. They could die. But you know, there's this big pot of money out there and people are going to sign up for it. You know, during the Depression, people would sit on top of, they would do the Charleston on top of skyscrapers and stuff. We've had situations where a radio station, they didn't know it was going to be fatal. They thought it would be funny that have a bunch of contestants that would stand there and drink water. And the last person to go to the bathroom would win. You know, how much water can you hold? Well, one lady drank a lot of water. It diluted the blood in her system, I think is the way that works. But she died from that. She died from drinking too much water. No, because she wanted that pot of money. This is what's happening with this father and his daughter. They died because the Democrats are offering this big pot of money. Come across it. Do this dangerous stunt. Swim across the Rio Grande and we got a big pot of money. Free lifetime benefits. Free education for your daughter. Free health care. Free everything. Just come across. You know, we'll count you. And we'll get more political power. We'll count you in the census and so forth. We may even make you a delegate to the Democrat Party. How about that? Just get across the border and he dies. Are the Democrats responsible for that? Or is President Trump? The Democrats are enticing people across the border. They have this big welfare program to pull anchor babies across. President Trump hasn't done anything to protect the border. How could he be responsible for this? Or maybe we just take it this way. Just tell the Democrats who seem to care so much about children now, and this, again, it's foreign children. Just tell them that the father aborted his daughter. Would that be okay then? That was his choice. He exercised his choice, and he happened to abort his daughter. So what's the big deal, right? I mean, we've had ethicists, quote-unquote ethicists, with Planned Parenthood and the Democrat Party, tell us that you're not a you're a human being, but you're not a person. Not a person until you reach certain stages of maturity. And some of these medical ethicists that work with the Democrats, work with the, with Planned Parenthood, we've had more than one of them say that you're not really a person until you reach the age of two or three. So, you know, this, I don't know how old this young girl was, a daughter. Everybody says she was a toddler, but maybe she hadn't reached the point at which a Democrat ethicist would consider her to be a person. Yes, she's human, but she's not technically a person, so you're free to kill her. They've talked about that. I'm not making this up. They've actually talked about the fact that not only can you kill the baby when it's born, like Ralph Northam, Elizabeth Warren, and so many of the others, they've embraced that. Full-term babies you can murder. They call it comfort care. Set them on the table till they die. It's called comfort care. You can murder them. They've stood behind the murder of disabled people like Terry Schiavo in the past. They've said if this person doesn't have full mental facilities, or if, like in the case of Terry Schiavo, they decide that that person has lost some of their mental capacities, then now they've been depersoned and we can kill them. Well, you know, just maybe this young girl was too young to be considered a person by the Democrats. So what's the big deal there? Breitbart put out an article talking about 20 times they reported on migrant deaths during the Obama and Biden years, and nobody cared. We've done many articles. We've had many video reports. We sent John Bound to the border. We sent Joe Biggs to the border. They talked to people, showed video, interviews, and they had pictures of skeletons of people. You got ranchers on the border, and they say, we're finding dead bodies all the time. And this was during the Obama-Biden years, but of course nobody cared. Now they care. Now they care about this. Now they care about the so-called concentration camps. And I want to play video clip number two. You had Jake Tapper, had Occasional Cortex on, and he asked her if she cared about these concentration camps while Obama was president. And here's what she had to say.
When you retweeted a story from Esquire magazine discussing all this, talking about the academic definition versus the definition that most people think of, the colloquial definition that doesn't mean the concentration camp or just a concentration of individuals, but a Nazi death camp. One of the points that was made in that very story was that using that definition, there were also concentration camps under Obama and under Bill Clinton. That is in the story that you retweeted. Mm-hmm. So, did you call them concentration camps at the time when Obama was president?
Well, at the time I was working in a restaurant, but I absolutely was outspoken in against Obama's immigration policies and the detention of families then. I think it's a remarkably consistent position, and I'm not here to defend
barista, right?
Wrong actions just because
okay,
they happened under a Democrat.
That's enough. Yeah. Well, I was working in a restaurant. Yeah. I've had this rich life experience. I should be telling everybody how to run their lives. And she is everywhere. Yeah. That's her experience. But of course, it's amazing as we look at it. First, a couple of days ago, Paul Watson had this story as people noticed the fact that she was there, you know, with this big dramatic act wearing a $600 watch. But then it gets even better because the follow up article to this, Paul Joseph Watson at Summit News, photos reveal AOC was crying over an empty parking lot. Some photos surfaced showing what was on the other side of that fence. It's an empty parking lot with some police officers. Yes, it was simply a staged act. Who would imagine that it would be a staged act? We'll be right back with more of your calls. 888-201-2244.
In the 40 years that I've been in American politics, I've never seen a situation with the mainstream media in which facts and truth and evidence no longer matters. The false claim that you purposely sent kitty porn to the Sandy Hook plaintiffs is ludicrous as well as false. It's a smear. Somebody sends you something that's encrypted. You don't even open it. It ends up swept up in the discovery of 9 million documents, and then it's blamed on you. This is Kafka. Kafka-esque. This is bizarre. But the way the mainstream media rushes out to say Jones sent kiddie porn is really outrageous. I have a lot of respect for those media outlets and those commentators who retracted and corrected and clarified. But I wonder, where are the big boys? Where's the Wall Street Journal? Where's Associated Press? When are they going to report that they made a mistake and what they said about you was inaccurate? So we both need your help, and I urge folks to continue to support InfoWars with your dollars.
I talk about this on the air, and I know it sinks into people, but I've decided that we're going to kind of reboot all our supplements, in that if you go back 5-6 years ago, before all the censorship and attacks and fake lawsuits and the rest of it, I would talk about how great the products are and how they were the best and why they were, and I'd have doctors on and experts to explain why they were so good. And instead, the last few years, I'm like, hey, we need to really support us, or they'll shut us down. The biggest thing people like to buy is supplements because they know how great they are and how wonderful they were. And the left always has headlines everywhere. Jones sells unapproved supplements that he claims or supplements. No, under federal law since 1996, you can't say that a supplement has been through the FDA because they have no jurisdiction and won't look at it. But then they say you've got to say it's not approved by them. And all drugs are is the system trying to tweak what's in Mother Nature and manipulate it and do different things. And a lot of drugs work great. They have side effects, not with Mother Nature, but Big Pharma doesn't want you knowing about God's medicine chest. InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139.
InfoWars, the most banned network in the world.
So the InfoWars model is a self-fulfilling, self-supporting structure that is promoting free press and free speech by people getting together and supporting one another and sustaining one another. It is the only independent press of this size and scale, of this public reach. It is the one model that says, here's a way to have a self-supporting, self-sustaining, self-structured, little d democratic structure that, because the audience determines what content goes up, the audience determines what audience is ultimately reached by their choices in supporting InfoWars. And it's all because the audience spends their whatever it is, whether it's $5 or $50 a month on products that they like and that they want that actually compete with the corporate-driven model. And the ability to do that and at the same time support press, support speech, support letting the audience choose what news they want to see and what views they want to hold. And it's the ultimate American democratic expression and experiment. And it is the celebration of free press and free speech with free markets.
Clown World, InfoWars.com, ladies and gentlemen. It's already being printed. Your new ultra limited edition Clown World t-shirt will be shipped out to you. And on the back, like a concert t-shirt, Clown World 2020, Cory Booker and all the rest of the usual suspects. We're going to have live coverage, and there's only 5,000 of these being printed. And that's it, and it funds the operation. It's a clown world, and we're just living in it. Celebrate the circus that is Democratic debates with this exclusive limited time Clown World shirt. $19.95. Really soft, nice, high quality fabric. Whole nine yards for everybody. No reviews yet. And yes, we're running store wide free shipping, 50% off of the supplements and double Patriot points. And that's how we fund this operation. Thanks to you, the amazing audience, and this amazing crew, everybody else. We will prevail. InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139. Please support us today. These sales are big.
You're listening to The David Knight Show. Using free speech to free minds. It's The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. We're going to go to our callers who have been holding. And again, if you want to call in and join the program, that number is 888-201-2244. 888-201-2244. You can also leave a comment or a question on the Twitter account for the show. That's Libertarian. And we'll try to get those as well. Don't forget, we also have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/Libertarian as well. Don't forget to subscribe and to share those videos. We have the full show every day that you'll find archived there. And we also cut out other clips. You can do that as well at InfoWars.com/David-Knight-Show. But, of course, it's easier and sometimes to share stuff from YouTube. Try to get it out as many ways as we can. But let's go to our callers right now. We've had Jacob in Kansas holding. Go ahead, Jacob. Thank you for holding.
Hey, how's it going, David? Good talking.
Going good.
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for holding. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I've got two quick points. First point, two days ago, I could not believe that I'd live the day, see the day when, in the presidential debates, we'd be having somebody speak a different language.
Yeah, exactly. Three candidates and the moderator. Three candidates and the moderator speaking in Spanish. And I just had enough of it at that point, and I tweeted out, it's like, well, I'm pressing one on my television, but it doesn't seem, one for English, but it doesn't seem to be working, so I'm going to bed, because this is a debate about foreigners. Everything in it is foreign. The whole idea is 70% tax rate is foreign. But of course he dodges that question with a prepared statement in Spanish, and then everybody laughed at that. They called him Hispandering. Even the left-wing corporate media, they were laughing. Stephen Colbert and others were calling him Hispandering. Yeah.
Yeah. I was watching something with Dave Rubin. He was talking about why can't we use the words liberty, freedom, or constitution anymore?
Mm-hmm. Totally, yeah, because they don't want any of those things. They don't want liberty, freedom, or the Constitution. They want free stuff. And the people who are coming here want free stuff. And how are they going to get it? They're going to steal from you.
Exactly. I got one more quick point. As far as, like, helping you guys out with your funding, I was thinking that it'd be a pretty good idea to have a button on the web page that says full price.
Anybody
who would want to pay full price, they have that freedom. You can have that choice, but it is a little worth for your convenience.
Yeah, that's a good idea. And we started taking donations through Subscribestar and other things like that. So appreciate that. Yeah, we really do appreciate that. We've tried to set this up. I agree with what Alex has done. I like setting up things that people buy that's a win-win situation, as opposed to just asking for donations. I mean, we're really at heart, we feel better about giving you something, you know? I think most people do. We feel better about giving you something when you contribute money, than just please just send in money. And so that's kind of why he's gone to that model. But yeah,
people want something tangible after they give you some money. So,
that's right.
I mean, people are more willing to give you more money if you have something good to offer. And so that opportunity, that choice to give you more money right off the bat with the page would, I think, help out your revenue a lot.
That's a good idea. Thank you so much, Jacob. Thank you for holding as well. Let's go to Brad, also in Kansas. Thank you for holding, Brad. Go ahead.
Thank you, David. It's an honor to talk to you.
Well, thank you.
Glad to see you back on the show.
Thank you.
There's just so much. Where do you start? You know, we've got the shadow banning, the deplatforming of Alex and InfoWars, the censorship, you know, the YouTube banning, everything. They're all in collusion together to do this. And, gosh, you know, it's a violation of my First Amendment here in America. Now,
that's
our
right.
First Amendment rights, they don't extend to the rest of the world.
It's that's right.
For, right here.
Well, you know, Brad, we in the Declaration of Independence that we're about to celebrate here coming up 4th of July, what did they say? Uh-huh. They said, our rights don't come from government. The First Amendment doesn't give us the right of free speech. They said in the Declaration of Independence that we get our rights because we're human beings, because we're created by God. It's God that gives us that. It's natural rights. You know, one of the things that I remember most about Joe Biden, the first time I noticed him was in the Clarence Thomas hearings, where he got upset with Clarence Thomas because of natural rights. Joe Biden does not believe in natural rights. And I'm telling you, virtually all these people, Republican or Democrat in Washington, do not believe in the natural rights that we celebrate on the 4th of July. But we created government to protect those rights. And when you're talking about free speech, you've got these big corporations that are stealing from us, stealing our free speech. And we should have a government to protect us from that. All these Democrats are out there saying, oh, look at these big corporations getting tax breaks and you should hate them and help us to steal from them. And yet when the corporations steal our free speech, our God-given rights, the Democrats don't want to do a thing except applaud it.
Mm-hmm. That's because corporations are paying them the money.
That's right. Oh, yeah, that's right. And the government wants them to do this. I've seen this, as I said before. I saw it in North Carolina when I was working with third-party and independent candidates. You would jump through all these extra hoops that the Democrats and Republicans never had to get your name on the ballot. And then they would use the Press Association of North Carolina, and they do this in all the different states. They would use the private press association and say, you're going to run the debate, and you get to decide who's going to be in. And you're only going to let the Democrats and Republicans in, right? And they say yes. And then they would say, well, you have no recourse against this. And you couldn't get any civil rights organization, the ACLU, none of these people cared about any of that stuff. It's like, well, you know, it's a private thing, so we don't care. And we're hearing the same thing now from people at Reason Magazine and so forth. Well, you know, they're a private company. They can do whatever they want. It's a beard. They use them as a beard.
Yes. It's appalling, and it's getting worse.
You know, yeah.
It really is. Back when Obama first became president, he had Valerie Jarrett out there. Of course, they would only allow a photo taken of the president. There wasn't video clips, you know, and question and answer time. But Valerie Jarrett said on camera, says, yes, we definitely control the message, period. In other words, you're not going to ask certain questions, and you're only going to get certain answers the way we want you to understand it. And I thought that was pretty abhorrent. I'm wondering where all this is going to end up, David. I'm concerned about it because, you know, sooner or later, there's going to be a big hoop to do going on in this country about all this. I mean, that's...
Well, we know where it's headed. We know where it's headed, Brad, because, you know, we've been telling you that they put it in their plans. And they not only have a plan on how to do this, but they've also picked the date, 2030. That's why they keep talking about this. And it's going to be this kind of social credit control that you already see being rolled out in China. They were laying the foundation for this back in the 1990s when the internet became practical. But they'd laid the foundation for it. The general design, the general plan was set in the 1960s when DARPA came up with the internet. Now DARPA is working with Microsoft to count the votes. What's wrong with that? I mean, you see a problem with that when DARPA and Microsoft are going to count our votes? They've been watching everything that we've been doing. They're going to manipulate the information that we see by using social media and the internet. You've now got Google becoming not a search engine, but a hide engine. Are they going to hide information from you and call it a search engine? I mean, this is where this is headed. I know where it's headed. The question is, what are we going to do about it? And it's not going to be solved in Washington any more than we're going to solve it at the United Nations, or any more than it's going to be solved by the Europeans in Brussels. It's going to have to be people who stand up at the local level. We got to stop, as conservatives and libertarians, we've got to stop saying that we're going to send people to Washington to fix the problem. Ronald Reagan was right. Washington is not the solution. Washington is the problem. And the people in Washington will never give back the power they have stolen from us. We will have to take it back from them, and we can under the 10th Amendment. And I think the most important thing that we've seen in the last couple of years, the most hopeful thing, is how people have taken back marijuana, for example. Whatever you think about marijuana, you have seen a nullification, a peaceful nullification of a very big agenda. Part of the war on drugs, and it was the biggest part of the war on drugs, and you had people shut it down in many different states.
Man. I just want to make another quick point, the census question. You know, David, I think that diminishes my citizenship.
It does.
When they turn around, they just start slicing on me back during the Obama years. There was a report that you could buy a citizenship for $500,000.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's how the racket that Terry McAuliffe was running with Solyndra worked. You know, he had this scheme. He's getting government money, and he was selling citizenship to Chinese investors for $500,000, and the whole company went bankrupt. But it's all about greenness, okay? Yeah, the color of money is that kind of green. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Robert Barnes, what has big tech become?
Big tech are big babies that have become big bullies. And the way they did so is because they faced no consequence, social, economic, political, or legal, for their illicit activities over two decades. And because of that, that's why the courts, the judges, the juries, the members of the independent free press that care about this, the ordinary members of the public and the audience that care about this, have to bring real social, political, economic consequence to their course of conduct. Otherwise, they will never change. And they will become the big tech oligarchs, the equivalent to the big trust of the 19th century, who ran American politics and ran American economy almost into the ground until we were able to recover after the Great Depression. The InfoWars audience is the fuel that flames the light of liberty across the world to make real the actions of independent free speech, to make real the original promise of an independent free press. Real collusion is big tech and big media manipulating and working with each other to try to meddle with elections, to try to shake people's thoughts.
And then the whopper of telling us the whole time it's not happening.
It's the ultimate form of gaslighting. What you just saw isn't what you just saw, even it is what you just saw.
Let's talk to Marcus in New York. Marcus, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Alex. Yeah, I just want to say, your show is a breath of fresh air. I talk to a lot of people here out in New York City, and one thing I can tell you is that almost nobody agrees with these wars. I think that the neocons are trying desperately to get Trump to go to a war because they know that that's the only way that they could defeat him in the eyes of the public, the approaching 2020.
That's it. I mean, if Trump buys into this, it'll be the end of his presidency. It's the only way I think he can be defeated other than assassinating him. It's a time to be praying, my friend.
I agree entirely. And the last thing I just want to say, Alex, is I know they're trying to shut you down, but the reinforcements have arrived, man. I would love to see you on air until you're 80 years old. I would love to see what you're talking about when you're 80. But if they do shut you down, know you've gone into this war. You've won a lot of battles, and there are a lot of people like myself and many others who are going to continue. We're going to keep fighting in the info war. And even if something does happen to you or your show, know for a fact that you've gotten a lot of people fired up for liberty.
Thank you, sir, for calling. Briefly, folks, please do not forget, this is the Maximum Alert. We wouldn't be here without you. I thank you for your support and your help. We're going to be steadfast in this fight, but we need financial support, and we're going to put up more prominent donate buttons at InfoWarsStore.com. If you want to just give us straight donations, there's a P.O. box. If you want to mail us a check, we will put it into the fight against these globalists. We need money to fight back and to let them know we're taking action and to defend ourselves. InfoWarsStore.com is the main page. We have a huge sale going. Save InfoWars, super special, emergency special, 50% off. All InfoWars best-selling life products, all of them, 50% off. That Super Male Vitality, Survival Shield X2, now back in stock. Rainforce Plus, Turbo Force, Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula, so many more. Stock up on the toothpaste, the coffee. Sign up for AutoShip, get an additional 10% off. And I forgot, double Patriot points. Instead of 5% off on future orders, you get 10% off. And again, cancel AutoShip anytime for free. We need the funding. Thank you for your support. We're getting a lot of support right now, but we need a lot to go into this dark night. We're not going to back down. I want to be very, very clear with everybody about all of this. We're going into the season of war, and they have been inches from shutting down the final bank accounts we have due to their criminal activity and their digital fraud. And we need to know that we've got capital to go 6 months, a year. We need to end here. We need to be provisioned. And you've got my total commitment that I am going to rampage forward against the enemy fearlessly. I'm loving every minute of this because I know I'm getting under their skin. I'm bloodying them up politically. I'm banging heads with them, and they can't help but attack back with lies, and that just brings more people here. So I'm in one hell of a fight, and so are you, and I need war bonds, I need gas, I need ammo politically now. But literally, if you flood us with money, and if you flood us with product purchases, and if you flood us with your word of mouth, you're unstoppable, we're unstoppable together. I want to send a strong message to the enemy. I want to raise a couple $1 million right now to let the enemy know that their attacks are failing, and that you will stand with us, and I will never back down. You have my commitment. This only gives me more energy and more understanding of what we're facing and that we were right about this.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. We're going to take more calls, and in the next hour, we're going to play for you that back and forth between Kamala Harris and Joe Biden that everybody is talking about. We'll let you see that if you didn't see it last night. We're going to play it again, take a closer look at it, kind of deconstruct that and what was really behind it. It was, by the way, folks, as phony as the photo opportunity and the theatrics and the dramatics of AOC at that chain link fence. You know, it turns out when you see some of the other pictures, you can see professional photographers crouched down, getting the right angle of her and her angst and her agony at the children on the other side of the fence. And then wasn't children on the other side of the fence. It was basically an empty parking lot with a couple of cops and a cop SUV. Those are the people I guess she was weeping for. And this back and forth between Kamala Harris and Joe Biden is just as staged, just as phony, and I've got the evidence for it. So we're going to go back to your calls in just a moment. Before we do, real quickly, I want to tell you about the reminder of the specials that we have at InfoWarsStore.com. Part of our Save InfoWars emergency specials, 50% off all InfoWars Life products, free shipping store-wide, and double the Patriot points. So you'll be able to get more discounts in the future with those Patriot points. You'll get the Patriot points as if you were paying full price, but you'll get the products for half price and free shipping across the board. We have some of the best quality products you're going to find anywhere. Just as I was saying the other day, selenium. Take a look at how important it is to have the proper levels of selenium. Study after study. And you can still find those if you do the search engine activity yourself. You know, Google's not hiding that information from you just yet. So you can take something, for example, like selenium. You know you need to have it, but are you going to get a good source of it? You know, are you going to get some garbage coming from China? That's one of the issues with vaccines, right? The fact that you've had many times, you've had major riots in China because they've given people contaminated medication, contaminated vaccines. One of the biggest downsides, one of the medications that I was prescribed after I had my mild heart attack, was that it was made in China, and a lot of this stuff is contaminated. Well, what do you do if you get a bad drug like that, right? A lot of times you get supplements that are made in China. Well, we don't do that. We make ours here in the United States. Selenium that we have, we call it BioTrue because it's 100% non-GMO, and it's made here in the United States, and it's the best source you're going to find and the best price you're going to find. 50% off right now, free shipping store-wide, and double Patriot points, InfoWarsStore.com. All right, let's go to our callers who have been patiently holding. Thank you so much for holding. Slick Willie, FEMA region number 4. Go ahead, Slick Willie.
Hello, David. It's good to talk to you today.
Good to talk to you. Thank you.
I wanted to talk about the president's war powers. And I'm a Marine Corps veteran, and they were telling me and the rest of us that the Marines doesn't need a declaration of war, and that we could strike anywhere in the world within 24 hours. And on like the Meet the Press and whatnot, they're asking other Republican congressmen and whatnot about, can the president, they're trying to goad them into saying that the president can start a war, but, you know, I think he can drag us into a war, but he can't declare a war. I mean, do you have any thoughts about that?
Well, you know, we had the War Powers Act because we had presidents that were getting us entangled into foreign entanglements and regime change wars and so forth. And so they said, well, you know, look, because we live in a time when, you know, we're not sending people over with an armada that takes weeks to get there on wooden ships with sails. You know, things can happen very quickly with missiles and so forth. The commander-in-chief needs to be able to react quickly. But if he wants to commit to something, he needs to get Congress to approve it after, I think it was 100 days or so, or they have to bring the troops home. Then they had the authorization for the use of military force after September 11th, 2001. Many people are now saying that that gives the, as you just pointed out, that gives them unlimited authority to go for any war, anywhere, anytime, forever. And that's why some of the people in Congress are saying we need to repeal that. We need to make that clear that that was just a reaction to what happened September 11th. I think they need to make it very clear. I think they need to stand behind the Constitution. There's a reason. I think the right approach to that is what they originally had before the authorization for the use of military force. And that was that, the president needs to be able to react quickly to something. And that's why in the original Constitution, you would have a deliberative, process where the people's representatives would be the ones to declare war. As part of that debate, you would define that this was a justified war. In other words, we were attacked. We were threatened. We weren't going to go abroad looking for monsters that we could destroy. We weren't going to be getting involved in a conflict between two parties in Europe, for example, we have now all the time. It was going to be something that where somebody had attacked us. That was a just war theory from Augustine. And that was really a statement of Christian principle saying you're not going to attack somebody unless you've first been attacked. You're going to try to minimize civilian casualties. You're going to stop the conflict when there's no longer a threat to the lives of your people, when it's been pacified or that threat has been removed, and you're going to bring the people back home. We haven't done that in my entire lifetime. I haven't seen that. And so, that's why they had a deliberation about that. You would define what the threat was. You would define what the end point was. And then once they made that declaration, they'd get out of the way and they'd let the president handle it as commander in chief. Because at that point, you can't have committee meetings to say, well, now what do we do? Do we move this division over there or whatever? You don't want a big deliberative body, micromanaging the actual conduct of the war, but you do want the people's representatives deciding whether or not we should go to war, whether or not that is justified. And I think we need to go back to that. That's the original design. Authorization of use of military force or whatever. Get rid of that if that's a legal obstacle. Let's go back to the Constitution. Let's let the president be able to respond quickly. But if we're going to commit to a war, it better be justified. And I think we need to have our representatives debate that and tell us what the end point is. Do you agree?
I agree. The Democrats are all the time talking about president doesn't have any authority to really do anything, but then again, he does. He doesn't have to declare a war. And so I don't know my point. My point is that they are just misrepresenting what he can and what he can't do.
Yeah.
And are there others? Does Special Forces have that kind of a mission statement? To where they don't need to operate under a declaration of war, because it's like Vietnam. It was Congress, from what I understand, made a mess out of that war.
It started out
as a peacekeeping action, which wasn't war.
Yeah, go back to the Korean War, for example. That was a peacekeeping action. That was the first time we did a peacekeeping action. It was a police action, right? That's what Truman called it. And now we've been the world's policemen ever since. And we have been going in and getting involved in foreign entanglements, going after, there is no end to bad guys abroad. And you can make a case to attack any country that you want. And we can't be doing that forever. It's going to destroy this country. We know what that path is. That's not what this country was designed to do. And what President Trump is doing right now in Iran with the bad advice of people like Bolton and Pompeo and the military-industrial complex is very provocative. They are doing everything they can to start a war. They're hoping that they put themselves in this position and that Iran will do something that is overtly a response to that. You know, like put this chip on now, knock it off. You know, they're basically chest bumping the Iranians. And we don't need to be trying to start a war. They're trying to start a war, very hard trying to start a war. And I don't appreciate that. That's not what we elected President Trump for. We didn't elect him to bribe the Palestinians to behave themselves with $50 billion. We need to use the military at our border to protect our border because it's being invaded. That is really, if you're going to call it the Department of Defense, then defend this country. If you're going to just use it for foreign wars and regime change, go back to the old name, Department of War. That's more descriptive of what it's become. Thank you, Slick. Let's go to Jerome in New York. Go ahead, Jerome.
Hey, good morning, David. I hope you're well today.
Doing good. Thank you.
Say, for all you people that have the time of just listening here, InfoWarriors, you go to congress.gov and read that House bill that they just passed at 3401. You ought to see what that thing says there. That's incredible, man.
I'm not familiar with that number. What is it?
3401. That's the $5 billion giveaway that they just signed.
Okay.
That just happened yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
You should. I guarantee you, none of your congressmen or senators read that thing. They just, you know, they get lobbied in the House leadership or the Senate leadership. Okay, vote for that. Yeah, vote yes on that. That's the way that works.
Well, we got to take a break, but when we come back, since you read it, fill us in on some of the details because I haven't read the details of that. I'm incensed enough that they couldn't spend $5 billion on the border wall. They shut down the government to do that. Nancy Pelosi got President Trump to sign away some of his powers to protect the border so they could reopen the government. But they had no problem giving $5 billion for welfare at the border. Hang on, Jerome, and tell us a little bit about what you saw and the details of that when we come back. Stay with us.
InfoWars and free speech and your right to speech has been under unprecedented attack the last year or so. It's Orwellian. It's biblical. It's authoritarian. It's insane. And I keep trying to judge and gauge when is the right time to have to stumble up on deck as the captain of this operation and say, hey, we're sinking. I've begged for your support before and thanks for keeping us afloat, but this is the real SOS. If you don't buy a bunch of products and spread the word and keep fighting, InfoWars will be shut down, not just crippled. And so we've reached that point. It'll make the enemy happy, but you know, whatever. We have withstood so many of their attacks. We've gone through so much because of your support. You have been there. But let me tell you, they are pissed they haven't been successful, and they're giving us their full assault. So we need your prayers, your financial support, and your word of mouth now at InfoWarsStore.com. It's your fight. Decide whether or not you want InfoWars to continue, because we could be shut down. I just want listeners to understand, money is what allows us to beat this and stand against this. And we're seeing a lot of orders right now with the Save InfoWars 50% off, but we make only like $5, $10 on higher marked up stuff. We're making like $2 on the toothpaste at that price, and we're moving a ton of it, okay? But you move a couple $100,000 or something, and you get $20,000. That doesn't pay for all the infrastructure, the bandwidth, the lawyers, the crew. So we need to sell millions and millions and millions of dollars of product. I want to expand, not contract. And for 6 months, we've not just been at a standstill. The enemy's been winning. And I have labored and labored and labored and labored on this. I like to be expanding. I like to be winning. I like to be fighting. And we are winning the info war. That's why we're so hated. But we need to be retreaded. We need to be tuned up. We need to be fixed up. We never have time to get into dry dock. We got a lot of holes shot at us. And the enemy wants to silence us. Then they're really going to plant child porn on us. Then they're going to kill me or you or anybody else. I mean, the Democrats now are going into a full revolutionary fervor funded by foreign banks and the Chi-Com. So go to InfoWarsStore.com.
You're listening to The David Knight Show. Of deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, your host, David Knight.
Welcome back. We had to go to break. Jerome in New York was telling us, he said, look, if you haven't read this book where they just threw $5 billion of cash at the people at the border, you know, we couldn't spend that money on a wall. We shut down the entire government for quite a period of time because not gonna give you $5 billion for the wall. And such a small percentage of the total amount they spend. But then they just freely give this away, you know, for welfare services. We've put the military down at the border, but of course they're not allowed to do anything to protect the border. We got them painting the wall that's there, already there. Let's spruce it up a little bit, you know. It'll make it a little bit harder for them to get over the wall if the paint is wet. It's absolutely insane what is going on. But tell us a little bit about some of the details that you saw in that, Jerome.
Okay, David, I'm gonna get in lockstep with you about the military here. The Department of Defense, they give like $93 million to the Army to what? To paint the walls? They give $18 million to the Air Force. What the heck are they doing down there? They're not doing anything. The Marines, yeah. They give them like $14 million. I mean, that's just sort of the examples of how the wastefulness of this.
Well, even the We Build the Wall people, the GoFundMe project by Brian Kafalji, is that the way he pronounces it? The triple amputee from Iraq. And, you know, he took a lot of abuse from a lot of people. I said, look, he's raised all this money. He hasn't done anything. And then they unveil the fact that look at how much, you know, they got built in a short period of time. The Army Corps of Engineers was going to charge, it would have taken them more than six times that amount of money, but the Army Corps of Engineers said, we can't do that. So they would go to a small stretch of land that's private property. They put that there and got it done in no time at all for a tiny fraction, like 17% of what the military, the Army Corps of Engineers would have charged to do that. I mean, President Trump needs to get Brian in charge of building the wall all the way across the border. He'd get it done before his first term is done. But yeah, go ahead. What did you see in that bill, that $5 billion bill?
Oh, this is a really good one here. The Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Family Refugees and Entrance Assistance. That's $3 billion to get them into the country right there.
Entrance assistance. We're not going to build a wall, but we're not going to spend $5 billion for a wall, but we'll spend $5 billion for entrance assistance.
It's astounding, man, what they've got going. If you call your congressman or senator right now, I'm telling you right now, you ask them what bill number's at, they'll go, I don't know, let me look it up. They don't know. They don't. Mm-hmm. They just vote on it. They don't, you know, they don't look and see what's going on at all. It's amazing. I hate to be such a pessimist, but you know something, David, I'm going to tell you right now, it's beyond corrupting. I mean, they've done set up an entire industry down there on that border between the immigration lawyers, all those nonprofit groups. You don't think that they have big payrolls that they give out every week or every month or whatever? It's a major industry down there. The only way you're going to fix this, I hate to say this, is through a shootout. You're not going to fix it any other way. I hate to be such a pessimist.
Well, this extends to the entire administrative state. You know, we have CPS. It's a multi-billion-dollar bureaucracy that is preying off of American families and doing American family separations without any due process whatsoever. You're not having any jurisdictions come out there and say, we'll pay the legal fees for American families who are attacked by CPS. That's not going to happen. And so we have these permanently entrenched bureaucracies that are out of control. And you know, we're to blame because for the longest period of time, we have decided that everything should be a federal case. You know, don't make a federal case out of that. Well, now everything is a federal case. And we're naive enough to think that we're going to somehow solve this problem by sending the right people to Washington. It got too big long ago for any of these people. You're talking about how you can call your congressman and ask them about this number and they don't know what's going on with it. They don't know what's in these bills. They drop these 1,000-page bills on these guys a day before they're supposed to vote on it. They don't have the time to go through and look at this, and you know they're not interested anyway. They're just worried about how they're going to get reelected. And so this is out of control, and you're not going to get it pulled back with 435 people. You're not going to get it pulled back with a good president. We're going to have to do this at the local level, but we make a federal everything. There ought to be a law about everything we don't like. And it ought to be a federal law. And we've done that for so long that I think we may have dug a black hole for ourselves. We'll be right back.
It's not only that you have a unique voice in the public arena, in the public square. The other thing that's unique about InfoWars is it is the only network of this reach that is not backed by a corporate donor or corporate sugar daddy, that's not backed by some billionaire, that's not being funded by a secret foreign government. It is completely independent of all that. It is an old school American 1776 style experiment in the expression of the freedom of press and freedom of speech that, in fact, the founders were so concerned with at the beginning of the country, they actually tried to support and subsidize organizations just like this because this was the kind of press they wanted. And then ultimately we now live in an era where they've mostly been co-opted by big corporations or billionaire sugar daddies who've been able to control and manipulate what news and views the person's allowed to have or express or hear. And the InfoWars audience has broken through that. They are the bridge from the founding to the modern age, ultimate American democracy and freedom. And that's why there's been an unprecedented onslaught of deplatforming, defamation, lawfare, and libel targeting you.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. We're taking your phone calls, 888-201-2244. We're also going to take a look at Kamala Harris as she took on Biden in a prepared, heavily orchestrated and rehearsed thing, and we'll show you how that was set up. But I want to go to Mark in Washington State. Mark, you want to talk about immigration. Go ahead. Thank you for holding.
Hey, good morning, David. It's nice to see you back.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, I just wanted to mention the illegal alien issue. I've been in law enforcement. It'll be 22 years next month, and I lost my training officer in 98 by an illegal that was deported once. And we've lost several officers here in Washington State by illegal aliens. I've called the governor's office. I'm telling you right now, the progressive liberals don't care what we think. They have an agenda. It's interesting. Our governor just made us a sanctuary state. But the funny thing is he won't – well, the sick thing is he doesn't allow us law enforcement officers to ask for about their status here in the country, which we don't do. What he fails to understand is that the ICE agent goes into our local jail every day, goes through the booking sheets and flags those that may be illegal, and that's how they get around the sanctuary law here in the state of Washington, which is great.
Wow. Wow. You know, I've got an article here from the World Tribune. It's funny that you would call about this. ICE releases a list of murderers and rapists who are being protected by Washington State's sanctuary laws. It's exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, and you got to look at it, though. I'm in eastern Washington, which is we're very conservative. What that's going on in King County, which is in the Seattle area, and they don't cooperate with the federal government at all. On this side, most sheriffs cooperate with the federal government. I'll actually allow the ICE to come in and go through their booking sheet. So that's how we get around the sanctuary law that our idiot governor passed.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, I think that's really where our only hope lies, and that is with the local elected sheriffs, you know, who will stand with the law and so forth. We've had some sheriffs who have said in Colorado and elsewhere, we're going to become sanctuary cities for Second Amendment rights or whatever. You know, they have the power to do that. And if we had sheriffs at the border, they could basically start to arrest some of these people. They have the power. I mean, one of the things that they're telling President Trump is you can't use the military because we got posse comitatus laws. All right, well, if that's the case, then let's let the sheriffs enforce that and turn the people over to ICE. And we can have the people in that area elect a sheriff that will do that type of thing. But no matter which way you come at this, you'll have a governor or a judge or somebody in Washington that will say, you can't do that. And they'll be absolutely inconsistent in their legal arguments, but they'll be totally consistent in the sense that they want the borders taken down and opened up.
Well, and I'll tell you this, David, you know, as a copper, us guys on the ground, we work great together. We work well with the federal partners. This is all politics, but the sad thing is when I don't go to police funerals anymore, not after Trooper Saunders was killed in 99. The devastation that it causes, not only for the families, but the co-workers, the law enforcement community, the community that's affected. You know, my partner's was killed in 98. I still mourn his loss, and it'll always be with me. And that's what these politicians don't understand, and they don't care. Is we're on the front line, and most of us law enforcement officers, we're good guys. We love our communities. We want to protect this country, and we are frustrated with the federal government. And I truly believe what you said earlier is the only way we're going to change this country is we have to start at the local level and move up. Washington's gone.
That's right.
Totally corrupt.
That's right. The liberals have said for a very long time, think globally, act locally. Well, we need to understand and comprehend globalism, but we've got to act locally. And that means, you know, as the John Birch Society has said for a very long time, support your local sheriff. Make sure you've got somebody there that really supports your individual freedoms and is on board with what you do. That is a very, very powerful office right there. We've seen exactly the opposite here in Austin. We had a sheriff that was elected that pushed back against not only President Trump, but against Governor Abbott in terms of deportation and, you know, fighting back against ICE as well. So it can work the other way as well. If you get a bad sheriff, they're going to shut down any enforcement of that. As a matter of fact, she said, I'm only going to do three different types of crimes. I'm only going to turn people over to ICE for three different types of crimes. And somebody pointed out, well, you know, one of those is that you said that a crime that you haven't included in your list is somebody sexually abusing a minor or raping somebody. It's like, oh, okay, we'll make it four. And then somebody pointed out a fifth one. So there's all these different violent crimes she wasn't going to deport people for. And she started adding a few of those things to her list, but basically she's just virtue signaling for open borders and, thumbing her nose at any enforcement of the border at all. And that really is a federal responsibility, but the feds are not really doing enough for that, even with ICE. I know they're trying to do their job in many cases. And I really think what has to be done, the key thing is to build a wall, because that keeps people out of the country without having to go through checkpoints and so forth. And it keeps them, most importantly, out of the legal system, where you've got these judges, or in the case of Dallas, where they're going to charge the city residents $100,000 of legal fees to defend these people here illegally, to defend them from deportation. We've just had one of the interesting things, I think, Mark, that came out of the debates was the fact that we've got all these Democrats talking about how they want to decriminalize crossing the border. And it's like, oh, so now you're admitting finally that it's a crime. They tried to change the language and say, don't call them illegal aliens, call them undocumented workers. Now they're finally admitting it's a crime so that they can change it. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it's not surprising. I mean, they have an agenda. They're globalists, and we've got to understand that as a country. I mean, they have taken the masks off. These 20 idiots that are running for the presidential they're all for open borders. They're all for Medicare for everybody. They're all for freebies. Listen, mm-hmm. they're going to tax the hell out of us if one of those gets elected. The American people need to get off their rear end, and we need to start getting involved, because that's one thing about progressive liberals is they are able to they're good at organizing, and they're good at getting out there and getting their message out. And that's where we conservatives have failed. We sit back and we expect others to do what we should be doing. And that's why we're in the mess we're in. We own this government. It's we the people. And it's time that we the people take back this country, or we are going to lose it.
I agree. And when we look at what's going on, for example, with the takeover of the free press, the independent press, and the people's free speech, again, it is absolutely hopeless to expect these Republicans to even comprehend what the problem is and how extensive it is and what the plan is. They don't care. They really don't care. They're not going to do anything about this. And as we were saying last night, the only way that we're going to do this is with a grassroots movement. You know, those of you who listen to this program, support this program, but also you're going to have to go to a situation where you don't use social media, because they're blocking that now. Email, the articles that you like to other people. You're going to have to basically go back to committees of correspondence, like the American Revolution, where people people didn't email. They physically mailed. You know, they give it to Paul Revere, and he rides it over to the neighboring town or whatever. No, seriously, you're going to have to send that information directly to other people and bypass social media. It is an anti-social control construct that they put together here, just like Google and these other things. You can't trust that these stories are going to be found by people. You're going to have to push that content out there, and you're going to have to do it directly yourself. You know, find people that you want to talk about. Start setting up a chain of people to fan this stuff out. That's really the only way this is going to be done. We're going to have to practice what we preach in terms of localism, even to have free speech and have a free press. I absolutely agree with you. Thank you, Mark, for what you're doing there in Washington State. We got to take a break. We're going to be right back with more of your calls. Stay with us. We're going to take a look at the back and forth with Kamala Harris and Joe Biden when we come back.
I talk about this on the air, and I know it sinks into people, but I've decided that we're going to kind of reboot all our supplements, in that if you go back 5-6 years ago, before all the censorship and attacks and fake lawsuits and the rest of it, I would talk about how great the products are and how they were the best and why they were, and I'd have doctors on and experts to explain why they were so good. And instead, the last few years, I'm like, hey, you need to really support us, or they'll shut us down. The biggest thing people like to buy is supplements, because they know how great they are and how wonderful they were. And the left always has headlines everywhere. Jones sells unapproved supplements that he claims are supplements. No, under federal law since 1996, you can't say that a supplement has been through the FDA because they have no jurisdiction and won't look at it. But then they say you've got to say it's not approved by them. And all drugs are is the system trying to tweak what's in Mother Nature and manipulate it and do different things. And a lot of drugs work great. They have side effects, not with Mother Nature. But Big Pharma doesn't want you knowing about God's medicine chest. InfoWarsStore.com. Or 888-253-3139.
In the 40 years that I've been in American politics, I've never seen a situation with the mainstream media in which facts and truth and evidence no longer matters. The false claim that you purposely sent kiddie porn to the Sandy Hook plaintiffs is ludicrous as well as false. It's a smear. Somebody sends you something that's encrypted. You don't even open it. It ends up swept up in the discovery of 9 million documents, and then it's blamed on you. This is Kafka-esque. This is bizarre. But the way the mainstream media rushes out to say Jones sent kiddie porn is really outrageous. I have a lot of respect for those media outlets and those commentators who retracted and corrected and clarified. But I wonder, where are the big boys? Where's the Wall Street Journal? Where's Associated Press? When are they going to report that they made a mistake and what they said about you was inaccurate? So we both need your help, and I urge folks to continue to support InfoWars with your dollars.
Serving with InfoWars is a great honor, but I still need my morning coffee. And luckily, our break room at the InfoWars headquarters is stocked full of high-quality InfoWars Store Patriot Blend coffee. Grown in the high mountains of southern Mexico, the Chiapas farmers grow 100% organic, non-GMO coffee at the ideal altitude for the perfect cup. A robust coffee with great flavor and mild acidity. There has never been a more important time to support InfoWars. So if you love coffee, and if you want to fight for freedom, then you can help. Order now at the InfoWars store. Sign up for AutoShip and get your own high-quality supply of Patriot Blend coffee delivered right to your door at InfoWarsStore.com.
Clown World, InfoWars.com, ladies and gentlemen. It's already being printed. Your new ultra-limited edition Clown World t-shirt will be shipped out to you. And on the back, like a concert t-shirt, Clown World 2020, Cory Booker and all the rest of the usual suspects. We're going to have live coverage, and there's only 5,000 of these being printed. And that's it, and it funds the operation. It's a Clown World, and we're just living in it. Celebrate the circus that is Democratic base. This exclusive limited time Clown World shirt, $19.95, really soft, nice, high quality fabric, whole nine yards for everybody, no reviews yet, and yes, we're running store-wide free shipping, 50% off of the supplements and double Patriot points, and that's how we fund this operation. Thanks to you, the amazing audience, and this amazing crew, and everybody else, we will prevail. InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139. Please support us today. These sales are big.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. Let's take a look at the exchange that everybody was talking about last night. Again, it's Kamala Harris, and she came very well prepared with a couple of sound bites. Joe Biden, on the other hand, was a bit sleepy, a bit tired, didn't really know how to respond, got very defensive. And so everybody is talking about how well she did, how poorly Biden did. Let's play, I think, the first clip that was interesting. As it's the whole panel of 10 people descended into chaos at one point, cross-talking and yelling over each other. She took to the mic with a prepared soundbite to calm everybody down, and that's where all of the corporate press and praising Kamala Harris begins with this particular incident right here, video clip 18.
So that everyone can compete in the 21st century. We're not doing that now.
Senator Sanders.
As the youngest guy on the stage, I feel like I probably ought to contribute to the generational
conversation. Part of Joe's generation. Part of Joe's generation. Let me respond.
Before we move
the
on
issue,
from
if I may say, is not generational.
Let's, please, please.
Yeah. The Senator issue Sanders, is not let generational. The issue is who has the guts to take on Wall Street, to take on the fossil fuel industry, to take on the big money interests who have unbelievable influence over the economic and political life of this country.
These issues that have been federal. Issue. Senator Harris, I'm so sorry. We will let all of you speak. Senator Harris. Senator Harris. Please, we will let you all speak. Senator Harris.
You can't afford to wait for evolution on these issues.
Okay, guys, you know what? America does not want to witness a food fight. They want to know how we're going to put food on their table.
Yay! Okay, guess what? I don't want to know how you're going to put food on my table. That's not your job. It's not your job to put food on my table. I don't come to government looking for a handout, and I'm sure those of you who are listening to this program don't either. That's not the government's job. You know, government, as George Washington said, is not reason. It's not eloquence. It doesn't put food on your table. It is force. It's like a fire. You better keep it under control because it can be it's a very dangerous servant, but it can easily get out of control. And our government is out of control. And these people who are promising that they're going to put food on your table, they're going to give you free medical care, they're going to do it especially for the foreign citizens, free everything, free education all the way through college, on and on and on. All right, they've got to first take everything away from you. They're going to have a 70% tax. Oh, don't worry, that 70% tax rate, that's only going to be on the rich. We've seen, as I point out, how this is all metastasized. You know, the income tax started out, it was not on wages. It was only on the richest 1%, paying about 1%. And now look at what we're all paying. And Now, what they're doing is they're telling foreign citizens, come on in here, we'll give you everything for free, and we're going to tax those rich middle-class Americans. That's what's really going on with this. But then we had this exchange, because we've had for the last week or so, Joe Biden trying to say, you know, look, we can all get along. I've even had people that I really hate on the other side of the aisle, and I got along with them and said, you worked with this person, you know, and so forth. And Kamala Harris comes in talking about how when she was a little girl, you know, talking about busing and racism and all this kind of stuff in the 1970s, because she can't go back to Jim Crow. She wasn't born then, right? So she picks busing as an issue. And she comes after Joe Biden. And I've got to say, you know, it was really kind of Shakespearean. It was almost kind of scripted by Shakespeare. I said, we're talking about it last night. I said, I think you're going to see some of these senators, you know, Senator Harris, Senator Bernie, are going to come with their knives at Joe Biden. I don't think any politician has had many, as many senators trying to stab him in the back as he's going to have tonight. And, but she was actually the only one that got him in the back. A2 booty. And actually, she did a very Shakespearean thing with this as well. Besides stabbing him in the back there with a prepared, scripted soundbite. And I'm going to tell you how that, I know that's scripted here in a minute. We'll play the soundbite for you, and then I'll tell you how I know it was scripted. But then she comes in, and she does the whole, it's right out of Shakespeare. You know, Julius Caesar. You know, Brutus is an honorable man, right? Mark Anthony comes out after these guys have stabbed... All the senators get together and they stab the politician in the back, kill him. And then Mark Anthony wants to come after the leader, Brutus. And he says, you know, all the stuff, you know. Well, Brutus says he did. And Brutus is an honorable man. And, of course, he is saying that he's not an honorable man. And she did the same thing to Joe Biden. I will direct this at Vice President Biden. I do not believe you're a racist. See, you're not a racist. And then she proceeds to talk about how racist he is for the next several minutes. So let's run that clip, video clip number 13.
On the issue of race, I couldn't agree more that this is an issue that is still not being talked about truthfully and honestly. There is not a black man I know, be he a relative, a friend, or a coworker, who has not been the subject of some form of profiling or discrimination. Growing up, my sister and I had to deal with the neighbor who told us her parents couldn't play with us because we were black. And I will say also that in this campaign, we've also heard, and I'm going to now direct this at Vice President Biden, I do not believe you are a racist. And I agree with you when you commit yourself to the importance of finding common ground. Mm-hmm. But I also believe, and it's personal, and it was hurtful to hear you talk about the reputations of two United States senators who built their reputations and career on the segregation of race in this country.
That was
and
the party she
it was
joined.
Not only that, but you also worked with them to oppose busing. And, you know, there was a little girl in California who was part of the second class to integrate her public schools. And she was bused to school every day. And that little girl was me. So I will tell you that on this subject, it cannot be an intellectual debate among Democrats. We have to take it seriously. We have to act swiftly. As Attorney General of California, I was very proud to put in place a requirement that all my special agents would wear body cameras and keep those cameras on.
Okay, so let's just hold it there, and we'll come back here. But let's talk about this a little bit. She says, there was a little girl in California who was part of the second class to integrate her public schools. She was bused to school every day. That little girl was me. Now, it just turns out that she had prepared a picture of herself and that she immediately had her campaign tweet out. They were prepared with this. This was a scripted soundbite, and they went a little bit further than Mark Anthony in, you know, Julius Caesar. You know, he couldn't tweet out a picture of Brutus, or he couldn't put out a picture of Julius Caesar, the victim of all this. But she did. She put out a little picture of herself as a schoolgirl in pigtails. And that quote, and that immediately went up. There was a little girl in California who was bused to school. That little girl was me. This was a very scripted, this was just as scripted, folks, as AOC weeping at the border. But, you know, Joe Biden, the big story here is the fact that he couldn't defend that. You know, he got very defensive about that. And we'll talk about that when we come back. You know, they started busing when I was in high school. And they shut down two predominantly, well, almost exclusively black high schools. And I got to tell you, when they brought the people in, they were not happy to be bused. I don't know why she was so happy to be. They were very angry about having their schools that they liked shut down and being bused for a half hour somewhere else. I don't know why she thinks that's such a great deal. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
InfoWars, the most banned network in the world.
So the InfoWars model is a self-fulfilling, self-supporting structure that is promoting free press and free speech by people getting together and supporting one another and sustaining one another. It is the only independent press of this size and scale, of this public reach. It is the one model that says, here's a way to have a self-supporting, self-sustaining, self-structured, little d democratic structure that because the audience determines what content goes up, the audience determines what audience is ultimately reached by their choices in supporting InfoWars. And it's all because the audience spends their whatever it is, whether it's $5 or $50 a month on products that they like and that they want that actually compete with the corporate-driven model. And the ability to do that and at the same time support press, support speech, support letting the audience choose what news they want to see and what views they want to hold. And it's the ultimate American democratic expression and experiment. And it is the celebration of free press and free speech with free markets.
Briefly, folks, please do not forget, this is the Maximum Alert. We wouldn't be here without you. I thank you for your support and your help. We're going to be steadfast in this fight. We need financial support, and we're going to put up more prominent donate buttons at InfoWarsStore.com. If you want to just give us straight donations, there's a P.O. box. If you want to mail us a check, we will put it into the fight against these globalists. We need money to fight back and to let them know we're taking action and to defend ourselves. InfoWarsStore.com is the main page. We have a huge sale going. Save InfoWars, super special, emergency special, 50% off. All InfoWars best-selling live products, all of them, 50% off. That's Super Male Vitality, Survival Shield X2, now back in stock. Rainforce Plus, Turbo Force, Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula, so many more. Stock up on the toothpaste, the coffee. Sign up for AutoShip, get an additional 10% off. And I forgot, double Patriot points. Instead of 5% off on future orders, you get 10% off. And again, cancel AutoShip anytime for free. We need the funding. Thank you for your support. We're getting a lot of support right now, but we need a lot to go into this dark night. We're not going to back down.
InfoWars, the most banned network in the world.
Viewers and listeners, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. And we're under unprecedented evil attacks, as you've seen. But I wanted to take just a minute out here from the bottom of my heart to tell you how much it means to me that when you saw all those lies against us last week, the worst things you can say about people, that you knew they were liars. You went and looked it up and found out the truth. And so I feel very strong, and I feel God's hand on my shoulder, and I feel your love in my heart. And I want you to know that love is right back at you. And I want to thank you for all you've done with your word of mouth and your prayers and your financial support. Because I'm committed to fight till the end, but I want to win. And without you, I'm going to be destroyed, and it's not going to be fun. But that's not what's important. The enemy could win. We're a key chess piece in this fight. We're being used by God. You're being used by God. This is providence. So I salute you, and I thank you for all you've done from the bottom of my heart.
InfoWars, the most banned network in the world.
Robert Barnes, what has big tech become?
Big tech are big babies that have become big bullies. And the way they did so is because they faced no consequence, social, economic, political, or legal, for their illicit activities over two decades. And because of that, that's why the courts, the judges, the juries, the members of the independent free press that care about this, the ordinary members of the public and the audience that care about this, have to bring real social, political, economic consequence to their course of conduct. Otherwise, they will never change. And they will become the big tech oligarchs, the equivalent to the big trust of the 19th century, who ran American politics and ran American economy almost into the ground until we were able to recover after the Great Depression. The InfoWars audience is the fuel that flames the light of liberty across the world to make real the actions of independent free speech, to make real the original promise of an independent free press. Real collusion is big tech and big media manipulating and working with each other to try to meddle with elections, to try to shape people's thoughts.
And then the whopper of telling us the whole time it's not happening.
It's the ultimate form of gaslighting. What you just saw isn't what you just saw, even it is what you just saw.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
liberty. It's your move. This is The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. We're going to go back to the calls in just one moment, but I want to talk a little bit about Kamala Harris. You heard the attack on Joe Biden, and you saw his deer in the headlights look, and it got even worse after that when he tried to defend himself. But let's just remember, it was just a couple of months ago that Kamala Harris's father was blasting her for her, quote, this is what her father said, her pursuit of identity politics. Said, speaking for myself and my immediate Jamaican family, we wish to categorically disassociate ourselves from this travesty. And one of the things that she was doing at that point in time was talking about, hey, I'm from Jamaica. We all smoke pot. And he goes, no, we didn't. And of course, she comes from a family that, going back, they did own slaves, but, she is, choosing to, put her Jamaican heritage out there as if everybody in her family was smoking ganja. But when she talks about that as well, you know, besides the fact that people said, look, she's lying. She says that she smoked it in college while she's listening to this particular group. That group didn't exist at that point in time. But what Kamala Harris did as a prosecutor is she was a hard-on drug warrior who is now bragging about the fact. She said, I have smoked pot. I support the federal legalization of marijuana, but I have smoked it. I've inhaled. I did inhale. Look, I joke about it. I've joked about it. Half my family is from Jamaica. Are you kidding me? Of course I smoke pot. While she then locked people up for doing the same thing with very draconian sentences. See, that's the kind of people that you've got standing before you running for office. So, yeah, she was locking people up left and right because that would help her career. She didn't care about it. And she probably was smoking pot at the same time herself because she's immune to that kind of attack because she's, and with the people who are in power. You know, people like Willie Brown. Going back to January of this year, she jumped into the race. Willie Brown, who's now 84 years old, and, you know, I never lived in California, but I was even aware of Willie Brown. He was legendary in terms of corruption in California as a Speaker of the House at that point in time. And, he was a mayor of San Francisco. Sorry, not Speaker of the House. Maybe he did become Speaker of the House. But as I pointed out back in January, he had an extramarital affair with Kamala Harris when she was 30 years old and a prosecutor. He was in his 60s and he was married at the time. That's right. He was Speaker of the California Assembly. He was formerly the mayor of San Francisco. He became the Speaker of the California State Legislature. In 2003, the San Francisco Weekly reported that Brown had appointed Kamala Harris to two highly paid patronage positions in California state government. Now, listen to this. She drew $150,000 salary, and all she had to do was go to two meetings a month. Now, the $150,000 salary is in inflation-adjusted points in today's money. Getting paid $150,000 to go to two meetings a week, I'd sign up for that. I imagine, though, there might have been other duties associated with that job that Willie Brown got her. That's what we were speculating on last night. She learned her political career at the knees of Willie Brown. After their relationship ended, he continued to boost her career. As I said, he was married at the time they dated, and Willie was known to be a bit of a playboy. As the Sacramento Bee reported, they told People magazine that Willie Brown had a succession of girlfriends, and he would, quote, go to a party with his wife on one arm and his girlfriend on the other, you know, like Kamala Harris. A 1994 L.A. Times report about then California Assembly Speaker Brown's rush to hand out patronage jobs described Harris as Brown's, quote, frequent companion. Several people referred to her as his girlfriend. So does she have any loyalty to him? You know, here's a woman who basically threw her family under the bus to virtue signal about how she liked to smoke pot while she was locking people up with draconian sentences for pot. She furthers her career by being the mistress of Willie. And then when she runs in 2003 in San Francisco to be the district attorney there. She told the San Francisco Weekly that her career was dogged, that rather Willie Brown, whose career at the time was dogged by corruption allegations, she said that he was an albatross hanging around her neck. That's what she said. And listen to this, how cold she is. Just like, you know, she could lock people up with draconian sentences for doing exactly what she's doing and now bragging about. She said this about the guy who was her lover, who forwarded her career at the time. She said, his career is over. I will be alive and kicking for the next 40 years, and I don't owe him a thing. That's the quote from San Francisco Weekly. She said, if there's any corruption, it will be prosecuted. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So now she's a multimillionaire from those meager beginnings. And the big story that comes out of all of this was Joe Biden. Now, he stumbles and stutters and tries to respond to what she had to say. Part of his apology is, for the busing situation. He draws in the Department of Education, and people are calling him on that because the Department of Education wasn't created until 1979. It's created by Jimmy Carter, by the way. We had an election in 1980. Ronald Reagan had promised that he would get rid of the newly created Department of Education. Too much control was being exerted at the local level by the federal government. And that was a big part of the problem with busing. And like I said, when I was in high school, they started busing. They closed down two predominantly black, exclusively black high schools. They'd had these separate high schools and so forth. And look, they didn't want to have a Jim Crow type of situation, that type of segregation. I understand that. But all of the people that they brought into the high school that I was going to, that they bussed for a very long time to get into those high schools, were very upset about the fact that they had the schools that they liked shut down. They didn't want to come to those schools. So the politicians might have liked that. The parents might have liked that. They could all virtue signal about how they're getting integration and so forth. But the kids really didn't like it. They hated it. They rioted on campus. They would walk out of classes because they didn't want to be there. They wanted to go back to their own school. I think they turned those two schools into middle school or junior high school or something like that. But nevertheless, this is mandated from Washington because they're going to micromanage everything. It got even worse with the Department of Education. Ronald Reagan never followed through on his promise. He never shut it down. He grew it. As I said many times, he should have strangled Rosemary's baby in the crib. Instead, he grew it into maturity. And so in doing this, Joe Biden says, well, I wasn't fighting busing. I was fighting the Department of Education. No, he didn't. He didn't ever fight that. And the Department of Education wasn't even created at the time. And then it gets even worse. Joe Biden, and this wasn't the only time he did it, but it was the most abrupt and obvious time. We talked about this last night as we had the live coverage. Two times, but this was the most obvious one. He starts going through and he goes, my time's up, I'm sorry. Just abruptly stops. Everybody else in all these debates, you've practically got to get a hook, put it around their neck and drag them off of stage because they don't want to stop talking. But Joe Biden abruptly stops because he can't think of anything else to say. And he says, my time's up. That may be prophetic. I don't know. Yeah, we got a clip of that. Let's show Joe Biden with his my time is up.
There are moments in history where states fail to preserve the civil rights of our people.
I have supported the ERA from the very beginning when I ran for the
Vice President Biden, 30 seconds, because I want to bring other people into this.
I supported the ERA from the very beginning. I'm the guy that extended the Voting Rights Act for 25 years. We got to the place where we got 98 out of 98 votes in the United States Senate doing it. I've also argued very strongly that we, in fact, deal with the notion of denying people access to the ballot box. I agree that everybody, once they, in fact, they should, anyway, my time's up.
Again, that may be prophetic. Whether or not he gets a nomination, his time may be up. And President Trump tweeted that out and he says, well, that's the end of the race for him. It may be. We'll be right back. We'll take more of your calls. Thanks for holding, guys. We'll get right to you as soon as we come back.
InfoWars and free speech and your right to speech has been under unprecedented attack the last year or so. It's Orwellian. It's biblical. It's authoritarian. It's insane. And I keep trying to judge and gauge when is the right time
to have to stumble up on deck as the captain of this operation and say, hey, we're sinking. I've begged for your support before, and thanks for keeping us afloat, but this is the real SOS. If you don't buy a bunch of products and spread the word and keep fighting, InfoWars will be shut down, not just crippled. And so we've reached that point. It'll make the enemy happy, but, you know, whatever. We have withstood so many of their attacks. We've gone through so much because of your support. You have been there. But let me tell you, they are pissed they haven't been successful, and they're giving us their full assault, so we need your prayers, your financial support, and your word of mouth now at InfoWarsStore.com. It's your fight. Decide whether or not you want InfoWars to continue, because we could be shut down.
It's not only that you have a unique voice in the public arena and the public square. The other thing that's unique about InfoWars is it is the only network of this reach that is not backed by a corporate donor or corporate sugar daddy, that's not backed by some billionaire, that's not being funded by a secret foreign government. It is completely independent of all that. It is an old school American 1776 style experiment in the expression of the freedom of press and freedom of speech that, in fact, the founders were so concerned with at the beginning of the country, they actually tried to support and subsidize organizations just like this, because this was the kind of press they wanted. And then ultimately, we now live in an era where they've mostly been co-opted by big corporations or billionaire sugar daddies who've been able to control and manipulate what news and views the person's allowed to have or express or hear. And the InfoWars audience has broken through that. They are the bridge from the founding to the modern age, ultimate American democracy and freedom. And that's why there's been an unprecedented onslaught of the platforming, defamation, lawfare, and libel targeting you.
I just want listeners to understand, money is what allows us to beat this and stand against this. And we're seeing a lot of orders right now with the Save InfoWars 50% off, but we make only like $5, $10 on higher marked up stuff. We're making like $2 on the toothpaste at that price, and we're moving a ton of it, okay? But you move a couple $100,000 or something and you get $20,000. That doesn't pay for all the infrastructure, the bandwidth, the lawyers, the crew. So we need to sell millions and millions and millions of dollars of product. I want to expand, not contract. And for 6 months, we've not just been a standstill. The enemy's been winning, and I have labored and labored and labored and labored on this. I like to be expanding. I like to be winning. I like to be fighting. And we are winning the info war. That's why we're so hated. But we need to be retreaded. We need to be tuned up. We need to be fixed up. We never have time to get into dry dock. We got a lot of holes shot at us, and the enemy wants to silence us. Then they're really going to plant child porn on us. Then they're going to kill me or you or anybody else. I mean, the Democrats now are going into a full revolutionary fervor funded by foreign banks and the Chi-Com. So go to InfoWarsStore.com.
I want to be very, very clear with everybody about all of this. We're going into the season of war, and they have been inches from shutting down the final bank accounts we have due to their criminal activity and their digital fraud. And we need to know that we've got capital to go 6 months, a year. We need to end here. We need to be provisioned. And you've got my total commitment that I am going to rampage forward against the enemy fearlessly. I'm loving every minute of this because I know I'm getting under their skin. I'm bloodying them up politically. I'm banging heads with them, and they can't help but attack back with lies, and that just brings more people here. So I'm in one hell of a fight, and so are you, and I need war bonds, I need gas, I need ammo politically now. But literally, if you flood us with money, and if you flood us with product purchases, and if you flood us with your word of mouth, you're unstoppable, we're unstoppable together. I want to send a strong message to the enemy. I want to raise a couple $1 million right now to let the enemy know that their attacks are failing, and that you will stand with us, and I will never back down. You have my commitment. This only gives me more energy and more understanding of what we're facing, and that we were right about this.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. We should have played this last night. You know, The Power of Love, Marianne, the author, that everybody's like, who is this? Did I see her on Oprah sometime? Selling her book, she said, we're going to love President Trump out of office. We're going to love him out of office. I tell you what, it was kind of crazy. But we're just playing that back and forth with Kamala Harris and Biden. And, of course, you saw, before we went to break, you saw Biden trying to rattle off his resume and all the things that he had done to help the black community or help with civil rights and everything. And then he just abruptly stops and says, My time's up. He still had 10 seconds left on the clock. His time is up, all right. That's really what he was talking about. It's like he could have said, my career's over. And then, of course, Kamala, with all of her prepared sound bites and everything. Oh, you know, when I was growing up, these white families, the little kids were told they couldn't play with me because I was black, right? She grew up in Canada. Totally. She is so fraudulent. You know, she's not a black American. She's not African American. She's half Jamaican, half from India. You know, one parent's from India, one from Jamaica. And she's talking about black reparations when her family owned slaves in Jamaica. So this, everything about her is phony. And she will stab anybody in the back as she did Willie Brown, as she did Joe Biden last night. But I want to go to our callers who have been patiently holding. Thank you for holding. EJ in Kentucky. Thank you for holding.
Thank you, David. I listened to the InfoWars coverage of both debates, and the only person that stood out both evenings was Tulsi Gabbard.
Yep.
She was a clear winner to me. She was the only person on that stage that came across as legit.
That's right. She was the only one who was authentic about all of that stuff, right? And she was very passionate about it.
Way too far to the left on social programs.
Yeah.
But as far as on war, she is dead on.
Yeah. Well, again, as you point out, you know, that's that one issue. She is very, very good on that one issue. But you look at the rest of the issues. She is now for gun control. She is for, you know, free health care for everybody. She wants full-on open borders. She wants unrestricted abortion. Right down the line, she's no different from any of the other Democrats on all these other very important issues. You know, war is a very key thing. And I'm glad that she's in the campaign to talk about that single issue. And she's very authentic about that. She's a very authentic person, quite frankly. But on all these other issues, she's running as a Democrat because she agrees with them on all these other issues. She's no different from them. They gave her a little bit of time, and they do attack her because she opposes endless wars. I think the takeaway for this, and I really do hope that President Trump pays attention to this on the Drudge Report. As I said last night, the takeaway from this debate and the takeaway from Tulsi Gabbard is that President Trump's base, these are the people who are looking at the Drudge Report, and President Trump's base has not budged one inch about foreign wars. And President Trump better get back to what he ran on. We're not going to vote for Tulsi Gabbard, but you know what? If Trump's base believes that they have been betrayed on the two key issues of putting America first by protecting our borders and stopping these endless foreign wars and not getting us engaged in a new one, if his base, or at least a portion of his base, feels that he's betrayed us on that, they just won't show up at the polls. And that will be fatal to his candidate. They're not going to show up and vote for a Democrat for all these other issues. They just won't show up. And that's the real danger for President Trump, and he needs to pay attention to that. He needs to get rid of Bolton. He needs to get rid of Pompeo, quite frankly, and start paying attention to what he ran on. I think that's the real takeaway. What do you think, EJ?
Absolutely. He needs to fire Bolton today. I'd like to see Tulsi Gabbard put in Bolton's place as national security advisor.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. I would love to see that. And, you know, that's the thing. If he were to reach across party lines, and we'd hope that he would do that when he was talking, he seemed to be aware of vaccine issues and so forth. And there was hope at the beginning of the administration that he was, or even rumors, that he was going to do something like that with RFK Jr., who is aware of the problems with vaccines, that he would reach across the aisle and put RFK Jr. in for vaccines. If he would reach across the aisle and grab Tulsi Gabbard and put her in to stop this kind of stuff, that would be a big win. But, of course, now President Trump is saying, oh, you got to get the shots. And now he is.
Absolutely. Well, he admitted on Meet the Press the other day that Bolton is a hawk and that he would take on the whole world at once if it was up to Bolton. And so that was sort of telling. I hope Bolton on his way out.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he should have never been put in. Everybody knew this. Everybody was saying this publicly. You know, I don't know why in the world President Trump ever put him in there. He has consistently put in people. It's exactly the opposite of what he did as a successful businessman. He would go out and he would grab people who were loyal to him, who were hard workers. They didn't necessarily have a resume that other people would hire them for that position. But if he believed they were loyal to him and a hard worker, he'd put them in that position. He's done just exactly the opposite as president. And that's one of the reasons why he's not getting his, the policies that he ran on accomplished, because he's put people in there to oppose it. And that raises the question as to whether or not he really wants those policies put through? That's the question that I have. If he operates that way, I mean, it's, you're not going to get these policies implemented if you put people like Bolton in that oppose you, or people like Rex Tillerson who oppose you. I mean, all this stuff was known about these guys before he put them in.
Yeah, I think he was doing it because the Republican establishment was telling him that's the only way he's going to get anywhere, is putting some of these establishment figureheads up there. And yeah. Every time we've seen Trump go with his gut, he was right. But every time he tries to appease somebody, he's wrong. I mean, that's where he needs to go with his initial instincts and go with them.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, he's trying to, I think he's also trying to make peace with people like Mitch McConnell and so forth. And that's really... gonna undermine him. If you look at a lot of the policies that he's doing right now, he is allowed to proceed with the traditional Republican policies. You want to do a tax cut? We'll do a tax cut. But you're gonna need to go to war. You're gonna need to do these other things. And all of the, things that desperately need to be done, protecting our border, stopping these foreign wars and so forth, that's being blocked, not only by the judiciary, but also by the establishment Republican Party. Anything else you want to say, EJ? Because I do want to get to Daniel in Canada. He's been holding for quite some time.
No, that's it.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you very much. Daniel in Canada, you've been holding for a long time as well.
Yeah.
Thank you for holding.
Good morning, Mr. Knight. How are you today?
Doing good.
And, when I was looking a little bit at the debates, I was thinking of a song by Dylan, I think, Clowns to the Left and Jokers to the Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, we use that bumper music.
Perfect. If there's a song that would fit, and that would be that. I haven't seen the complete ones yet because of work, but I will do that on the weekend. Now, my concern, on the first night they had so many mishaps, which I found are very crazy considering they're supposed to be professionals, and it's probably not the first one they've had. But my concern is, what if, imagine when Trump is, during the election and everybody's voting and he's going out to the different states to bid for his presidency. How is it possible that maybe they might try and do that to screw up his, the results? Because then Google and all can make it even worse. And, I think that could really be another nail in the coffin for Trump, unless he decides to. I know there should be a way. Can he not take the license away from these corporations, even news that tell lies? Can't he do anything on that?
Well, I don't want to see the president making any kind of judgments about what's true and false. That's not the government. They should not be the referees and the arbiters of truth
exactly.
And falsehood. But these people are, we've got them on tape now. We've told you that this is what they're doing, and we've had leaks and everything. Now we've had taped confessions by Project Veritas. They want to, and they have interfered with the election. End of story. Do something about it. That you don't need any more proof about that.
Yeah,
and the other thing is,
it's going to be too late.
Yeah, exactly. I absolutely agree. The other thing I'm concerned about, and we talked about this last night, you look at this field of jokers on the left, and clowns on the right, or whatever, whichever way it goes. It's not really any competition for him. The real competition for him is the control of the free press, the control of the people's free speech, and the control of counting the votes. I can't say that enough times. Election Guard, News Guard, by Microsoft and DARPA, they want to, and they've talked about this deliberately, talking about controlling social media, controlling the press, counting the votes. It doesn't really matter if he's running against some nincompoop that nobody shows up to any of their rallies and he's got 100,000 people queued up for 2 days. If they count the votes, it doesn't matter who votes, right?
And
so that's a real issue. Yeah.
Sorry. The last thing I'd like to bring up is, what scares me is, I do like Trump, and
we're out of time. We're out of time. Sorry.
He's not perfect, but hey, But the thing I'm concerned about is,
I got to take a break. Actually, it's the end of the program, Daniel. I can't even hold you over. Folks, listen, thank you for waiting, Daniel. Go to InfoWarsStore.com. We've got a massive sale. We really need your support at this time. 50% off all of our InfoWars Live products, free shipping store-wide, double Patriot points. You not only find supplements, but you also find things like our special Super Blue toothpaste with Nano Silver.
Clown!
own world. Infowars.com, ladies and gentlemen. It's already being printed. Your new ultra limited edition Clown World t-shirt will be shipped out to you. And on the back, like a concert t-shirt, Clown World 2020, Cory Booker and all the rest of the usual suspects. We're going to have live coverage, and there's only 5,000 of these being printed. And that's it, and it funds the operation. It's a clown world, and we're just living in it. Celebrate the circus that is Democratic debates with this exclusive limited-time Clown World shirt. $19.95, really soft, nice, high-quality fabric, whole nine yards for everybody. No reviews yet. And, yes, we're running store-wide free shipping, 50% off the supplements, and double Patriot points. And that's how we fund this operation. Thanks to you, the amazing audience, and this amazing crew, everybody else, we will prevail. InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139. Please support us today. These sales are big.
The answer to 19...
Serving with InfoWars is a great honor.
I'll need my morning coffee. And luckily, our break room at the InfoWars headquarters is stocked full of high-quality InfoWars Store Patriot Blend coffee. Grown in the high mountains of southern Mexico, the Chiapas farmers grow 100% organic, non-GMO coffee at the ideal altitude for the perfect cup. A robust coffee with great flavor and mild acidity. There has never been a more important time to support InfoWars. So if you love coffee, and if you want to fight for freedom, then you can help. Order now at the InfoWars store. Sign up for AutoShip and get your own high-quality supply of Patriot Blend coffee delivered right to your door at InfoWarsStore.com.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.